Good afternoon. We have a quorum. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, and the time is 2:06 p.m. I now call this meeting of the Dallas City Council to order. We're going to begin today with an invocation, followed by the pledges of allegiance led by Councilwoman Carolyn King Arnold. At this time, the chair is going to recognize Councilmember Narvaez to introduce our guest who's here to give us today's invocation. Please rise.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pastor Steve Wilder was born in Dallas, Texas. He is the son of Alan and Ermeline Wilder and husband of Jennifer Wilder. He has attended 7 Bible Institutes. Pastor Wilder has been ministering for 25 years and has been the pastor of Perpetual Praise Community Church for 14 years. He is a member of the Texas Doctors of America and a member of the Greater Rising Star District Association.
I want to take this opportunity just to thank you for asking me down today just to speak as an ambassador for Christ. I want to just read a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going just to read verses 1 through 3. And it's simply Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I felt like on a day like today, it was appropriate to read this scripture because I just feel like what better scripture to read today on this day? I want to ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Lord God, it is your spirit that binds us and your presence that holds us. Give us the strength as a city, a nation, on this day of healing and restoration as we remember those so dear to us. Bless Mayor Johnson and his council. Lead them and regulate their minds as they lead this great city unto better days of peace and unity. Lord, this day more than ever, we pray for your grace and your mercy today. Amen.
Amen. Chair recognizes Councilwoman King Arnold for the pledges. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Members, I'm going to ask you to remain standing just for a moment. Two announcements we want to make today, special announcements. Obviously, it's not lost on anyone here today that today is the 18th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on our country on September 11th, 2001. So we want to honor those who died, those who lost family and friends on that day, today with a moment of silence. And we're also going to observe a moment of silence in honor of a great American, great Texan, great Dallasite, who we lost today as well. T. Boone Pickens died today, age 91, and we want to honor him as well. So if we could just observe a moment of silence for both 9/11 and for Mr. T. Boone Pickens. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good afternoon. We did have a cancellation on our open microphone speakers list. Therefore, your 5 speakers this afternoon will be Linda Newland, Bill Hoyt, Linda Bates, Gerald Shedd, and Dolores Phillips. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Johnson only. Also, if you have any handouts, you can go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Linda Newland.
Thanks. I am Linda Newland. I reside at 2468 Dorrington Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75228. And good day, Mayor Johnson, and good day, council members. Today, I am speaking about those chemicals the city purchases and adds to our already fluoridated water. On the way here, I stopped at two different pharmacies. They both stated, when I showed them the words fluoric acid, they both said those are chemicals. And the only fluoride they sell is in toothpaste. On the toothpaste package, it says, do not swallow. If swallowed, call Poison Control Center right away. I prefer to use this toothpaste. A lot of people don't know about it. Even my dentist didn't when I showed them to it. No glycerin, no fluoride, no artificial coloring, nothing. I think people should have a choice. And the Dallas City is not giving us choices. They're adding those bad chemicals to us. Hint, I passed out, I had someone pass out a packet of information on why it's not good to use fluoride. And in that package, I had a bottle of hemp water. I meant to show the hemp bottle today, but guess what? They won't let me bring even an empty bottle down. Hint, to practice medicine, you need a medical license. Hint, Dallas does not have the right, nor those that voted on January 26, 1966, to continue adding chemicals to our water that we drink. It's my body. I should have the right to choose what goes in it. I have a very bold request. Stop adding those nasty chemicals to the Dallas water. Save money to use for other needs of the city. I'm requesting this to be done by the end of September 2019. That's this month, 2019. If it does not happen, I know my next step to choose. Dallas is not, doesn't have a license to practice medicine. That's what they're doing when they add chemicals to our water. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bill Hoyt.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members. Congratulations on your victory in June. My name is Bill Hoyt. I'm a 30-year Navy veteran. I would like to recognize, as you did, the nearly 3,000 lives that were taken on 9/11 and the more than 7,000 Americans who have lost their lives in the war since. There are two points that I would like to raise today. Number one, the fact that the city is not holding city council committee meetings. And number two, the lack of access to the mayor's office and your leadership team. I'll start with number two. I wanted to raise my concerns to your leadership team. I wanted to talk to someone who has access to you. The only way the general public can access your team is through one phone number, no emails. It is normally busy. When I finally got through, I asked when the mayor was going to seat council committees. I was told that they didn't know exactly when. Can I get the name and number, and we'll get back to you when this mayor makes a decision? I said, that's not a good answer, and I wasn't very polite about it. I asked to speak with someone on your leadership team. She said they do not have a different answer. You're going to get the same answer that I gave you. I asked her if I needed to go to the press. The person's, after that, the conversation didn't go very well, so I won't cover any more on that. But that is why I am here today. That is why I got dressed up, drove down to City Hall, paid for parking, and am talking before you. As a 30-year Navy veteran and leader, I decided I should give you a chance to hear my concerns. You and 14 city council members were sworn in June 17, 2019. The last city council committee meetings were held mid-June. Many of the city council seats were contested. Your counterparts on the council heard directly from the voters for 2 months prior to the election. As a collective group, they know what our concerns are. Your colleagues were elected by their constituents, just like you were. 3 valuable months have gone by without your colleagues being able to be assigned to committees. By now, they could be doing the city's business. The city faces a lot of challenges. By waiting, many of the new city council members have to learn the issues and challenges of the committees which they serve. It'll probably take another 2 or 3 months before the committees are effective. For 3 months, Dallas departmental leaders have not been able to raise their concerns in open committee meetings, and the newly elected council has not been able to lend their voice and their voices of their constituents to the city department heads. I hope you are looking forward to encouraging your fellow colleagues to help you in overseeing the many challenges this city faces. Please step up today and appoint your colleagues to city council committees. They have valuable insight in this that this city needs. Please give them the support they need to do their jobs and the job the people elected them to do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Linda Bates.
My name is Linda Bates. I reside at 1207 Hendricks, Dallas, Texas, 5216. But I'm a multiple contamination effect from West Dallas. I grew up in the W.R. Grace, R.S.R., Murphy Miller, Stacks, in West Dallas. I've been contaminated with multiple chemicals. I'm the effect. I've had several battles with cancer. I got COPD, but as long as I got Jesus, I know it's all right. But I come down here because we're losing multiple peoples in West Dallas due to cancer. West Dallas has been a cancer plague part of y'all city where everybody die. I mean, kids, even the kids have problems. We need help to find out where we can get some resolution to our illnesses. My husband has been damaged all my life. My daughter, whose name Shantae Bates, was in the paper in 1980 because she had the highest level of lead. My family was pig paid. My brothers and sisters got paid. I got nothing but diseases, cancer, Graves' disease. I shouldn't be liable for this. I think the city should find out who should compensate us. I have an unhealthy life. And it's very hard seeing a doctor every 2 weeks for something that you weren't born with. I need someone to come out and help the people. People are dying. We lost his whole family due to cancer. Cancer, cancer, cancer. That's West Dallas. All you can say is cancer. And they can't say it's not in the yard because back we had the yards tested again by Valerie Wiggleworth. She no longer works with the Dallas Observer because they found lead still out there in the water and in the soil. So if they cleaned it up, why is it still there? The people need help. We need to form a committee to get us some results because we done went to Royce West. What happened? He came out. We had meetings. No results. People still dying. I'm still going to the doctor. I'm still battling with these diseases. And Lord is God good because I'm still here. Even Jay Saginaw, Fred Barron, said that we weren't going to be here long enough to enjoy life. And that was a true fact. I'm not enjoying life, even though I got 17 grandkids. I'm not enjoying life. They have to see me crying on my bed because I'm hurting due to the cancer illness in my body. So can y'all send someone out and find out how many people are dying from the cancer that contaminate our body? Not from lead. It's from all kinds. We had battery casing, water. We had all kinds of stuff went on in lead. GAF has asbestos. It still runs, but we still dying. So thank you.
Thank you.
Gerald Shedd.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Councilman. I want to address the homelessness issue because, you know, it's a real problem that I'm sure we all are concerned about. And I got something wrote down here. Let me see. It said we need to provide, we want solutions, right? Because if we got to have a solution to get to the end of the problem, what I'm saying is we need to provide rehabilitative services that will provide mental inspiration for our homeless and to migrate back into society. They need more than just housing. They need proper identification. And if they are mentally challenged, which most of them are, we need to address that issue, first with a caseworker that can and will work with HUD to get them the housing they need and get their disability started, because, like I said, most of these guys are mentally challenged. I've been homeless one time or two before myself, you know, at least one time I remember going to a shelter, you know. So, you know, I can really, you know, feel the pain. God done blessed me to kind of be something like a solutionist. I want to help any way I can, right? But I think educating these guys instead of hiring more caseworkers and cleaning up, fencing off the camp, the bridges, right? We should take the money and invest in a facility or two that's going to house these guys for about 6 months, give them a chance to get on their feet, to get the inspiration they need from us, you know what I'm saying, that they can re-migrate back in society as productive citizens. They deserve it, just like we deserve a better city. And our city is only going to be as good as we are, as good as we are for it. We got to make this city a better city. It's not just going to be a better city. But most of them are on drugs and alcohol and whatnot. All these issues has to be addressed. You know what I'm saying? We can't just keep walking over these people because it's not solving the problem. We can't keep pushing them away without anywhere to go, because when they wake up the next day, it's the same thing. We face the same problem. I'm saying let's get together, come up with some solution, Mr. Thomas. You know what I'm saying? Mayor Johnson, Councilman Arnold, you know what I'm saying? Let's get together, come up with some solutions, man, and try to solve this problem. I got some other things that I'm passionate about, like education. And what's that, education and whatnot. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to speak, Mr. Atkins. Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Queen Montgomery Council, Dolores Phillips. Dolores Phillips, 567 West Dickey Road, Apartment A, Grand Prairie, Texas, 75051. In memory of all those who lost their lives, 9/11, I would like to say we love you, we miss you, and it's not in vain. It would be an injustice for me not to speak. Thank you for allowing me to speak, Honorable Jay Johnson. This is a decade-old cover-up. Take your complexion being like my complexion out the equation. Take your race being my race out the equation.
People fail to realize the operations of the city of Dallas. That's why 600 officers are gone now. And that city, that Chief Hall, is in all reality being battled by people that look like her more so than those that don't. I would like to also say, men and women beyond race who intentionally or not exploit the Me Too movement, cut your crap. You have caused irreparable harm to America's government and politics for decades to come. For the women who intentionally harass and sexually harass themselves while simultaneously telling Me Too stories, you should do 30 days in jail for your first offense of sexual harassment being a female. You have documents. I also have a CD that I want you to hear from 2011, Finding the Cover-Up of 2009. This is a CD from 2011 speaking of the cover-up 2009 of the meeting that I was speaking of 2013. Mayor Rollins instructed that meeting. You have handouts. These are the file cabinets that are still in my possession that are totally full of everything that was destroyed, tore up, erased, or deleted. In the cover-up, when they took me to Green Oaks, they want me to believe that they did it because I refused to, quote, open, unquote. I don't open to females born with vaginas, and I will be humbly elated to sit in the court of law under sworn oath to testify to what it means with these women who methodically harass while they shake ASS and keys at the same time, while they tell Me Too stories. I want you to listen to the CDs because this is a lot I'm trying to get in with the 3 minutes. I want you to understand, Honorable Johnson, the FBI, they coming.
I'm saying, like, as an operator, would you have to document that you did try to attempt to call the caller back?
It depends on the call. If you're calling me from a landline, if you're calling me from a business, if you're calling me from a payphone, yes, I put something in the comments saying I called.
They erased two calls and said they were never made. My Sprint bill contradicts that. All of this from 2009 until now. City Attorney's Office, City of Dallas, and DPD has self-incrimination documented from then to now, and it continues. And I'm going to continue to take those blows in humility for those who are afraid to speak beyond race and beyond economic social status. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
This concludes your open microphone speakers for this meeting, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item one is approval of minutes of the August 26, 2019 City Council Budget Briefing and the August 28, 2019 City Council Meeting.
Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Minutes are approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we move to your consent agenda, we do have one individual who has signed up to speak on consent agenda item 28, Mr. Thomas Hendricks. Mr. Hendricks, you'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. My name is Thomas Hendricks, 9112 Coral Cove Drive in Dallas, Texas, 75243. I'm addressing a project in the Park and Recreation Department for the Kleberg Trail and for Crawford Park. This is the map that you had in your package for this project. Notice that the Kleberg Trail starts at Buckner on a crosswalk and is the shortest distance to Crawford Park on the southwest corner of the park. This is the page for the Kleberg Trail plan to 2013. 11 years ago, our group, the Kleberg Community Development Corporation, worked with the city of the city and the major mayor's Southern Task Force to buy the UP Railroad right away from I-20 to the city limits. The UP contributed to the almost total cost of the purchase. The city staff, particularly Jared White and Michael Hellman, under even then Councilwoman Atkins' championship, not only completed the acquisition in 2012, but outlined the conceptual design of the trail. In 2016, the city staff, now with Jason Ney involved briefed the park board for the renovation of Crawford Park. While not providing a detailed phasing schedule, the objective of owning it into a regional asset like White Rock Lake Park started the penetration of world-class recreational amenities into the southeast corner of the city. The circle in the right corner of the graphic shows the southwest corner of Crawford Park at Prairie Creek Road at US 175. Note that is a gateway to the park from District 8. It's our objective to fully fund the complete 15 miles of the Kleberg Trail in the next city bond election. We would ask you to fund and design the design of this first mile for the Kleberg Trail to complete it from Buckner across US 175. Thank you.
That's your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 40. Agenda item 3 was pulled by Councilmember Gates. Agenda item 16 was pulled by Councilmember Thomas. Agenda item 17 was pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmembers Narvaez, West, and Basil Dua. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2, 4 through 15, and 18 through 40.
Is there a motion? All in favor? Any opposed? The consent agenda items are adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to agenda item 3. Item 3. Authorize a lease agreement with Dallas Jet Holdings, LLC at Dallas Executive Airport for approximately 1,824 square feet of lobby and office space within the airport terminal and 297,049 square feet of airport land and facilities for aviation-related operations. This item was pulled by Councilmember Gates, but we do have two individuals who have signed up to speak on the item. George Musa, I'm sorry, George Musa and Brian Myler. Would you come forward if I called your name? You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name for the record.
My name is George Musa. I'm 6307 Deloach Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75225. I am president and CEO of Ambassador Jet Center, the other FBO on the field. I am from Dallas. I got into the FBO business in early 2000 because of my love for aviation, and I'm also a pilot. I'm a little bit unique from this perspective because I see things from a pilot's perspective and from an FBO owner. Over the last 19 years, Ambassador has invested millions and millions of dollars into the airport. We have built new hangars, renovated hangars, built new infrastructure, on and on and on, poured concrete ramps, just to name a few. We are not opposed to competition on the field. At one time, there were 3 FBOs at Dallas Executive Airport: Qatar, Jet Center of Dallas, and Ambassador. Qatar left, Jet Center sold out to the city, and yet Ambassador is still here. The fuel sales that we all push for and hunger for is what we survive on, whether it be the City of Dallas, Ambassador, or any FBO around the country. During the construction of the terminal building, when there were multiple FBOs on the field, we all wanted to be in the terminal building because we believed it would increase our traffic, thereby selling more fuel. We were all told at the time the terminal building was off limits, as to not to give preference or one FBO an advantage over the other. If the terminal building had been an option, Ambassador Jet Center would be there. Any FBO, and including Ambassador, will want the terminal building. It is the most visible location with the largest ramp. In the center of the airfield, in the same building as the restaurant, ample parking, covered canopy for guests, and the biggest advantage to an incoming FBO is that it requires a minimum investment to make it operational. To allow Dallas Jet Holdings the opportunity to run their FBO operations from the terminal creates an economic disadvantage against Ambassador and shows favoritism to a newcomer over an operations that's been on the field for over 15 years. Jet Center of Dallas, the prior FBO, operated their FBO in the building across the street. If they operated an FBO building across at 5555 Apollo, then Dallas Jet Holdings can operate their FBO there and not in the terminal building. They can still maintain the same fuel requirements, promises of increased jet traffic, and no loss of revenue to the city. That's the key. They do not need to be in the terminal building to meet the requirements. In summary, for 19 years, Ambassador Jet Center has had a committed investment and continues to make improvements to the airport. We believe in a level playing field for all. I encourage you to vote no on this portion of the agenda and keep the terminal building off limits. Thank you for your time.
Brian Myler.
My name is Brian Myler. I work for Ambassador Jet Center, 5435 Saturn Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75237. Mr. Johnson, Council. I'm an employee in Dallas Executive Airport in South Dallas. Ambassador Jet Center has worked very hard there to satisfy the customers who come in. I believe that allowing a competitor to come in to take over the terminal building that was paid for by TxDOT primarily would be unfair, and it would be difficult because of a lot of different reasons. Our location is not directly next to the restaurant where people can easily go in and eat. So if we have a new FBO in that building, then all their customers can immediately just go to the restaurant. If somebody comes in to get picked up from the terminal there, it's an easy drive. It terminates right at the end of the road where we're off to the side. They have to serpentine through many hangars to get there to the building and that type of thing. So I just ask that you consider that we've been down there. We've been working there since 2001. We're a part of South Dallas. We're part of Oak Cliff. We're part of that infrastructure. We just want it to be fair. That's all we're really looking for. Thank you for your time very much.
Thank you.
There are no further speakers on this item, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion?
Motion for approval.
Any discussion? All in favor? Oh, Councilwoman Gates.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for coming down here and speaking to us today. I'm going to ask Mark Diebner, our aviation director, a couple questions, because I know you brought this to my attention, and I was concerned that we hadn't made this available to everybody. And when we met yesterday, you talked about an RFP that went out last fall. Can you hear me?
You went off.
I lost you.
You're off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can't hear you. No,
we've lost all audio.
Mark has
that.
No.
Did
it turn it on?
A button. Testing. There it is. As I understand the question, Mark Diebner, Director of Aviation,
Honorable Mayor, Member of Council, we did, as part of direction from Council, a previous development deal we've done at Dallas Executive, we committed to issuing a request for proposal for developable property both at Dallas Executive as well as Dallas Love Field. We issued that RFP back in September of 2018. We outlined in that RFP a very broad scope that looked at all potential uses, both commercial, non-aviation, as well as aviation development, hangar development, fixed-based operators, what FBO stands for. We did not receive any proposals for FBOs for aviation development at Dallas Executive. We did get one that was withdrawn at Executive for some hangar development. So we proceeded with the non-commercial, the evaluation. We briefed Council earlier this year on the status of that evaluation. But about early this year, 2019, we were approached by Aero Management Group, the proposed awardee, with their interest in leasing some new hangars that we had built on the airport, as well as beginning a fixed-based operator operation, which would involve fuel sales, light maintenance for the aircraft that serve Dallas Executive. Aero Management Group will be doing business as Dallas Jet at Dallas Executive. They have seven other FBOs throughout the country, and they're looking to put a beachhead or a location here at the Dallas-Fort Worth area to serve customers. We feel that this connected type of fixed-based operator enterprise is beneficial to the airport. We've seen a steady rise in the fuel sales average monthly gallons flowed at Dallas Executive since we've made the major investment on expanding the runway, and so we felt like there is enough business at Dallas Executive. It is steadily growing significantly. We've made the investment, and bringing a fixed-based operator with a national network would help drive additional traffic as well as the other development we're doing at Dallas Executive. So even though we didn't get responses during the RFP process, it was out there. We think we've been fair and open about the opportunities at Dallas Executive. And so when Dallas Jet approached us about negotiating terms of coming to Dallas Executive, we were receptive, and that's how we came to negotiate this deal. In the terminal building, if I may speak with respect to the specific issue, I think is allowing Dallas Jet the 824 square feet within the terminal building. It is meant and is our agreement, even though it is in their lease that those 824 square feet is a five-year term with a renewal option. We still reserve the right in the lease to terminate the lease with 180 days notice because we don't know what happens there. Lots of things could happen in the general aviation world. Economy can sink. There could be construction delays. But it is their intent to occupy that space in the terminal for 3 to 5 years at the most. 5555 Apollo, which is the major hangar which housed a previous FBO, is being renovated by Dallas Jet, and they will consolidate all of their operations at that facility once the construction is complete.
Who is using the main terminal at this point? I mean, is it just access for, I mean, just for the airport? Or?
We have our administrative offices. The airport manager is housed there. We do have Delta Charlie's, which is the restaurant, sort of a common area in the middle, and then we have our operations in the backside. In addition, we also have the conference center, which has facilities for the community, too. So we have a nice terminal complex with plenty of room. And for the council's edification, we did, in our conversations with Ambassador, we have extended the same offer, although I understand his perspective that he feels like he's been told in the past, although we have not, any of the current administration, since I've been there, have had that discussion. We have made that option available to them if he wants a presence inside the terminal building, similar size, 800 square feet within the terminal complex.
And the finances that are mentioned in the background material, so is it guaranteed the fuel sales? I mean, or is it predictions?
Yes, that is correct. So part of what we wanted to ensure is that this would be a net positive for the airport. We are giving a rent abatement for the 5555 Apollo structure. However, the rest of the hangar rental and the fuel flowage fees, they are going to be paying us 7 cents, which is the standard by ordinance fuel flowage for all operators, all fuel pumpers at Executive. They're also giving us an additional 5 cents on top of that 7. They are guaranteeing a minimum gallon flowage. I have a spreadsheet. It roughly starts at about 320,000 gallons the first year, and then it has an escalator every year. So they're guaranteeing they will pump that much fuel. If they pump more, we'll get more revenue, but we do have a floor minimum amount that the airport will receive. So we remain net positive in this deal from year two, essentially.
All right. Thank you.
Is that it, Councilwoman?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins.
Yes. Thank you, Mark, for coming forward. Thank you also, Jennifer, for asking a question. Mark, in the terminal building, who else operate in the terminal building?
The only thing in the terminal building currently are the administrative offices as well as the restaurant.
Okay. Is the restaurant leased directly to the city of Dallas? Do the city get any? Is there a partnership with a restaurant?
Yes, we have a concession agreement with, I forget the formal name of the company, Delta Charlie's LLC, I think, is an operator that's under contract. That will be coming up for bid probably next year sometime, looking at the potential of a new operator for the restaurant.
So the city of Dallas is part operator, not operator, but has some type of revenue agreement with the restaurant, right?
Yes, we do a revenue share, and the city made the investment to build out the restaurant. The operator is just the operator. They didn't bring any capital commitment when they took over operations. Correct.
And the current fuel sale per year, what is the current volume of fuel?
Current fuel flowage, well, just to give you a historical perspective, our average monthly flow in 2016 was 29,927 gallons average monthly. In 2017, when we completed most of the phases of the runway reconstruction, that jumped to a 49,136,000 gallon average per month. 2018, we were at 55,764,000 gallons per month. And we are currently year 2019, we're averaging 60,604 gallons monthly. So we're seeing an increase in fuel sales, increase in activity, which lets us know our and the council's commitment to the investment in the airport is paying off.
I heard from Mr. Musso that unfair, unjust. As a former master leaseholder at Red Bird Airport, tell me, how do you manage the ramp if you have a FBO in the terminal building? How do you control the ramp space when the plane drive up, get fuel? How is that going to be handled?
So in the lease with Dallas Jet, the 824 square feet is terminal building only, the small amount of space within the terminal. The ramp in front of the terminal is common use, so it is available and accessible to all. It is the intent of the Dallas Jet to use that as sort of a reception area, but most of the service and fueling operations, they will dispatch a tug from the 5555 Apollo facility and take the aircraft back there for the fueling.
I spoke to you earlier last week. You say it was a temporary lease, but now I find it's a 20-year lease on the terminal building. Is that correct?
The intent, it is intended to be temporary. The
But the lease that I've seen said 20 years. So why are we leasing the terminal building for 20 years? You told me earlier it was a temporary lease. Why they were doing improvement to the FBO, to the hangar. Now it's a 20-year lease. So I want to make sure
the
you
lease,
explain that.
Yes, sir. The lease term for the terminal space shall commence on the effective date for a period of 5 years, unless terminated earlier in accordance with this lease. The lessee, we did give them an option, subject to the terms and conditions, for up to four additional five-year periods. So it could be extended to 20 years. The original term is 5 years. However, the last part of that clause in the lease does say either party may at any time for any reason terminate this lease with respect to the terminal space upon 180 days prior written notice to the other party. It is the intent in discussing with Dallas Jet that that it is a temporary use of that space while they do renovations to 5555. They intend to consolidate their operations at 5555 Apollo, and that will be their place of business. Given the variabilities of what happens in construction, in this market, indications of a looming recession, which really affects general aviation sort of as a leading casualty, they wanted some option to be able to stay in the terminal if something went wrong and that they wouldn't be displaced and have no place to have their reception area and office space.
Okay, so would it be fair that you were given a temporary space in the terminal building while they're doing construction in the main terminal building, which they plan on doing anyway? So why should we do a 20-year lease? Why won't we just do a 3-year lease, a month-to-month lease, until their construction is finished at their permanent location? Suppose they don't do the permanent location, you got a 20-year lease.
We
reserved an option, right?
Yes, sir. We reserve the right to, if we feel like we've been dealt with in bad faith, that they said they were going to do something and they didn't, we do have the right to terminate the lease with 180 days notice. What we view in both with Ambassador as well as Dallas Jet, at Dallas Executive and Department of Aviation, we look at these businesses as partners. We have worked with Ambassador over the years, working out, giving them additional space, additional leases, renovating hangars. We are looking for partners in the business of building the airport, building the activity, driving economic development. We think Dallas Jet is a good partner, as Ambassador has been a good partner. So we will do things that give some accommodation to our potentials, to our partners. Our goal is to really be in business with them, not against them. So in this case, we felt like allowing them that space and giving them the peace of mind that if something went wrong that was beyond their control or our control, they would at least have an option to stay in that space in the terminal.
I don't have any problem with that, colleagues. The owner problems is looking at this map here. I looked at someone is going to have control of that space in front of the terminal building for 20 years. And unless we're going to increase the terminal building, another option, another FBO coming in, I feel like it should not be a long-term lease. I think it should be a lease according to when they do improvement to their property, then they can come back and negotiate, but I don't think it should get a long-term lease. I think it's unfair if it's more than one FBO, I don't care if it's two or three FBO there. In that case, we did not have RFP. We was going to do RFP. We didn't do one, but to have exclusive right for the plane to drive up in front of the terminal building and say the city of Dallas let you drive up, drop the passenger out, and you got another space on the property, that is unfair because it's an impression that the city of Dallas is part of the FBO, in my opinion, in the general aviation. This is not a love field DFW, but it's a general aviation airport. So that's what I'm doing. I think that, you know, to lease something in a terminal building for 20 years for a revenue of $10,000 a year, is that correct?
That is correct.
1,000 square feet for $10,000 a year, that's less than 80-some cents a square foot. I think that should be the premium, you know, on the price. Well, I don't know what you can rent anything for less than 80 cents a square foot.
Well, Councilmember, if I may, don't forget that they are paying a premium of
I'm just talking about 824 square foot. That's what I'm referring to. The fair market.
Correct.
For 824 square foot. And they're paying $10,000 a year.
Correct.
Right. That's below market. What do we get at Love Field?
Terminal rent, off the top of my head, I couldn't answer that question.
Well, you know, I think that, I don't know if Mr. Tumbleson is here or not, but I think we should kind of separate the terminal lease for a short-term lease, but not a 20-year lease, you know. I think it should be a short-term lease. And that's a motion, maybe 3 years or 5 years. How are we going to monitor their construction on their terminal building? Suppose they don't do the construction. Suppose they go bankrupt. Suppose they don't make it. And we got a 20-year lease tied up, bro. I think it should be a short-term lease going towards their motion. And I would, if they take a substitute motion, maybe 3 years, or 5 years, a term is when they complete their hangar, they should move back out or come back and negotiate a long-term lease.
So if I may clarify one issue.
Please.
So the ten, looking at the lease rates for the variety of properties, the terminal lease is $10,802.64 annually, 824 square feet. That's $13.11 per square foot annually. So that would be close to market, I would imagine, at, in the area. And we do have a 10% if a renewal option is allowed or they exercise a renewal option, a 10% increase on that square footage price every 5 years. So we built in escalations in case that they do it.
Okay. A question. When you spoke to me, you said there would be probably maybe a 3 years or 5 years when they complete their hangars, they would be moving out of the FBO.
That is so, their intent, yes, sir.
That is their intent. So my motion is that when they complete, they should come back and renegotiate. See if I can get a second. So.
Can you restate the motion?
The motion is that give them 3 years to complete their investment in the terminal building and let them come back to negotiate at the terminal building. Then that way, if there's another FBO, another company who wanted to lease the terminal building, we had a fair market to put our RFP out.
Okay. It's been moved and second discussion. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want a couple of clarifications, Mark. First of all, I heard the speaker state that for fuel sales, I got the impression that Dallas has its own fuel sales separate than the FBOs. Is that not right?
No, sir.
So all fuel sales go through the FBOs.
Or, yeah, the FBO has a fueling permit. If a operator at the airport, executive or Love, hasn't their own fuel farm, they can apply for what's called a self-fueling permit.
I'm trying to get is we're not competing with the FBOs for itself.
No, sir.
Okay. Then secondly, when we imposed a landing fee at Love Field, did we see much traffic moving to Dallas Executive?
Since the landing fee really went into effect earlier this year, we have not seen a significant move of aircraft from Love to Executive, say, in the as based aircraft. What we have seen is a steady increase in the fuel sales at Dallas Executive, which could be for a number of reasons. They've been rising steadily since we've done the major renovations to the runway and improved the infrastructure down there. Some of it may be attributable to the landing fee at Love, but otherwise it's just natural growth of the investment we've made in the airport.
And then with regards to the use of the terminal, Mr. Atkins said that we'd be giving some advantage where a FBO could offload passengers at the terminal and then go back to their gates. Could that not happen from any FBO, just offload right in front of our terminal?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common use space, the ramp in front of the terminal. Any operator can use it. The other FBOs, the charters, can drop off and pick up at the terminal as they do now.
Okay, great. Appreciate that clarification. So with that, I mean, the folks from Ambassador, I very much appreciate the support and investment you've made at the airport there, but I would like to see this airport continue to grow, and I think competition is important there. And so, therefore, I will not be supporting Mr. Atkins' motion, but I will be supporting the original motion as made. Thank you.
Ms. Arnold.
Thank you. I have some questions. I have one question for clarification, then a comment. Did I understand that Ambassador did not get a chance to submit a bid in this RFP?
No, ma'am. We issued an RFP in September of 2018, and we got no responses for these type services from Ambassador from anyone else. We were approached by Dallas Jet earlier this year after the RFP had already closed, but we have an ongoing relationship with Ambassador, and we have made several this council has approved several lease agreements additionally with Ambassador that were done without an RFP because they're a current operator. So we've been working with Ambassador. We're working with Dallas Jet. We're open for business with anyone that's interested in coming to the airport.
So just for clarification, the gentleman here from Ambassador, the gentleman that spoke, from
yes,
from the
They are from Ambassador.
You're Ambassador right here. So is it correct you all did not submit, if I could ask that question? You did not participate in the RFP. Could I ask that question, Mayor, of them for clarification?
You can. They can answer if you want
to
come
could
back.
You answer? Can you come to the... I'm just trying to get clarification as to whether or not you participated in the process or why you didn't.
We didn't because the original RFP never had any details with it. The RFP, we watched it when it was posted because we wanted to bid on it. The RFP, there were no details. If you would go to the site, there was nothing there. The RFP had a deadline, I think, of June 10th. And then it was extended until June 30th. Nothing was added. Then it was extended again to the end of July. Nothing was added. And then it went to August 10th. There were no details on it. There was nothing to bid on. There was no, what are you looking for? There was nothing there. And it was finally withdrawn. So there was no details. There wasn't anything. We wanted to bid on it. Of course we would bid on it to be in the terminal.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just trying to understand this competitive aspect. So you're telling
there's
me you
some confusion on Mr. Moose's part. We had a draft. We were intending to do an RFP at Dallas Executive. We were working on the specifications. We were getting feedback from a consultant. We posted a posting that for an RFP. The RFP was never issued in June in that year, what he refers to. What I am referring to is the request for competitive seal proposals we issued September 13th, 2018. That was separate. The specs were all there. They were posted properly. And we did receive proposals. We did not receive a proposal for Dallas Executive for Development.
All right, so this is the one I'm... Is that true, sir? If you don't mind, just... So I'm just trying to...
Okay, we did not bid on this.
Okay,
we did not bid on this one.
So this is the concern that you have, and they're being given an edge you feel in this process, this other...
We are against any FBO using the terminal building. Because, and as Mark did say, which was correct, the prior aviation director, airport manager, everybody else, when they built the terminal building, we all wanted to be there. And they said, no, it's off limits.
Okay. Thank you. So what I do hear what Mr. Councilman Tennille Atkins is saying. Those numbers do sound kind of very interesting to me. But I'm also concerned that I do have questions for the council member, and the council member is not here for me to make those other observations in terms of what the constituents have said as it relates to this whole process, and I'm very concerned about that. So I can't support the motion, and I can't support the original either because I don't have the opportunity to speak to the council member as relates to the community and their issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Blewett, and I'll just remind everyone we're on the Atkins motion at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark, I just had a question. It seems like you said that if they were interested in leasing space in the terminal, that we do have an additional 800 square feet. That
is correct. We have, since the issue, when we were made aware that they were unhappy, we were leasing the space in the terminal. I've offered similar space in the terminal if Ambassador wants to take us up on it.
And the terms would be something similar to what's already happening, or that's just subject to negotiation? Or
we are required, basically by the FAA, to be uniform in what we charge in the way of rents. So whatever we offer to one FBO is what we would necessarily offer to the other. So if he was interested, it would be the same terms.
And I'm being redundant. And so there is comparable space available beyond Dallas Jets' lease.
Yes, we have space. I've even offered in the discussions with Mr. Moussa, we have the airport manager's offices there. We could vacate and move to vacant space we have further in the back and allow them space where the airport manager is now. We have adequate space to provide them equal space in the terminal.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Atkins, you want to restate your motion before we vote on it?
I gave it to a bit of rate. Will you read it so everybody understand clear what the motion is?
Yes, sir. Councilmember Atkins' motion was for 3 years to complete investment in terminal building to then come back and negotiate lease.
Not terminal building, to complete investment in the lease. They have a long-term lease, which they got to do improvement in their hangar. because they are leasing a hangar, which they got to do capital improvement, and we got to make sure they do invest in that property.
We need to make sure we understand what we're voting on. So right. Can we get the motion stated clearly?
The motion stated clearly is that the motion is to lease the terminal building for the FPL for 3 years during the duration when the lease is trying to do improvement on their property to make sure there is up to standard in 3 years to complete their construction.
Ms. Gates, do you have one further discussion on that?
Yes. I understand the concern. I do think, you know, we can't, Mr. Musa, actually, I know this is in Mr. Thomas's district, but he lives in my district, so I spoke to him about this. And I think he recognizes, we have to have competition's healthy, right. and it's been there before, and it can be there again. I am concerned about I don't know if the other party, what is it, Jet? Dallas Jet is here, because I think this puts you in a difficult position when you've been negotiating something and then we change the terms at the horseshoe, the other entity might not be agreeable and the whole deal might fall through. And, you know, I think you gave everybody a fair shot to try to compete for some kind of use at the airport.
If I may, Your Honor, yeah. Just point of clarification, in the lease currently the terms for the renovation of the 5555 Apollo structure, construction is to commence within 24 months. All of these would be reasons that they would default the lease and the lease would be terminated. They have they must begin construction within 24 months, and construction to that structure must be completed within 48 months. Those are the terms we have negotiated in the lease currently. So we expect them to be complete in 48 months. The idea being, once
you would terminate if they didn't, if you would terminate the lease,
we would reserve that right. Now, if something happened and for whatever reason they couldn't or wouldn't, or it could even be the city's fault. We often do change orders based on owner-directed changes, permitting, things we want to see that may extend that. We want to give a little bit of cushion that gives us the flexibility to accommodate all of our tenants at Dallas Executive so we can be successful.
Does that meet your requirements, Mr. Atkins, or do you?
Yes, it's meeting. The only thing I'm looking at is, number one, I'm trying to make sure that the person who signed the contract is going to finish their construction work, you know, within that four years. It said 3 years. I said 4 years. But as you know, according to the market, they might not finish. You know, we got a 20-year lease there, and we got two issues we're dealing with.
The construction is not completed. The terms of the lease, it's a material default, and the lease would be terminated. So they have requirements.
Do you want to withdraw your motion, or are you leaving it?
I'll leave it there.
Okay. We're going to vote on the motion as it was restated by Mr. Atkins. No further discussion. All in favor? All in favor of Mr. Atkins' motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No.
Can you at least raise your hands?
Okay, let the eyes. Let's go with the eyes and raise their hands first. This will be clear. Will the eyes raise their hands?
I count five.
And will the nose raise their hand?
I count nine. Right. And it's 14 present.
All right, the motion fails. We're now back on consent agenda item number 3 as originally put forward. Mr. Atkins, did you have anything? Ms. Arnold?
Question, Mayor. I just have a point of information. Am I in order to submit a motion to delay this vote today until the council member can be here to answer questions that I have?
It's in order. Sure.
Okay. Well, I would like to, if I'm able to do that now, I would like to make a motion that we delay this particular vote until... if I can get 30 days.
Discussion? Ms. Arnold?
Well, it's just about stewardship and accountability. And I do have some additional concerns because I think as the speakers have made the point today, they do have experience in the industry. And I just find it kind of strange if you do have that knowledge and background that you would understand how to respond to an RFP. So I just want to get some clarification. And it's all about advocacy also for that community. And I do have some serious concerns about the statements that have been made today, Mayor, and ask that just we err on the side of just getting enough information so we can vote in terms of accountability for this community, of which I am also affected. Thank you.
Understood. The motion is to defer for 30 days. It's been moved and seconded. I don't see any other discussion. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. The item's deferred for 30 days, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to agenda item 16. Item 16, authorize one, the Fifth Amendment to contract number 2017-049838-001 with the Texas Human Health and Human Services Commission, HHSC, for the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, WIC, to A, revise the budget for contract number 2017-049838-001, amendment number 4, to increase the FY 2019 total budget amount by $1,062,419 from $14,030,143 to $15,092,562, and B, accept additional grant funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture passed through the HHSC for fiscal year 2019 allocation for the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for WIC in the amount of $1,062,419 for the period October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019, increasing the total contract amount by $1,062,419 from $57,963,622 to $59,026,041. Two, an increase of appropriations in an amount not to exceed $1,062,419 in the FY 2019 WIC program Women, Infants, and Children Grant Fund. Three, the receipt and deposit of additional grant funds from the HHSC for the FY 2019 allocation in an amount not to exceed $1,062,419 in the FY 2019 WIC program Women, Infants, and Children Grant Fund, and four, execution of the contract amendment with HHSC and all terms, conditions, and documents required by the contract, not to exceed $1,062,419. This item was pulled by Councilmember Thomas.
Mayor Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I approve this item with the following changes. Correct the item to include FY 2020. Increase the FY 2020 total budget amount by $440,172 from $14,030,143 to $14,470,315. Accept additional grant funds for the Special Supplemental Nutritional Program for WIC in the amount of $440,172 for the period of October 1, 2019 through September 30, 2020. Increase the total contract amount by $1,502,591 from $57,963,622 to $59,466,213 and increase appropriations and the receipt and deposit in an amount not to exceed $440,172 in the FY 2020 WIC program Women, Infants, and Children Grant Fund.
Could you restate the motion? I'm just kidding. Discussion, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I have a question for the city manager regarding the source of funds. Is there any general fund dollars that go to this $60 million program?
No, council member.
So why is it we can run a $60 million program on behalf of the federal government and not have to expend any general fund dollars, yet program after program after program, we keep shifting cost from the grant money to the general fund, which restricts our ability to provide general fund services in other areas? Not rhetorical. Why do we have to keep doing that when we clearly have big programs we don't have to do that in?
So I think multiple reasons, in particular, probably this program
is a self-directed and funded program in its entirety. The services and the benefits available are all passed through to the extent that the dollars based on qualifications are by right, based on incomes and others, what people are allowed to receive. And the other programs, such as whether it's housing, fair housing, I'd argue, community courts and others, as we've decided to fund those programs and at a level of funding and or service delivery, as the dollars shrink, because those dollars are going down, i.e. CDBG and others, the choice is either we reduce the service that we provide and or we expand and continue to provide the support systems, as well as even in some cases fund those out of the general fund, because people have become reliant on the services that we've been providing. And so this council, as well as I think staff, with the approval of council, has determined not to reduce the level of service, but find ways, as in some cases, we're the only individuals beyond the federal government that will provide these services. So we've stepped up and tried to do those.
Thank you. Is that it? All right. It's been moved and did we get a second? Any more discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? The motion is adopted. The item is adopted. Excuse me.
Thank you. Agenda item 17, authorize the Fourth Amendment to the City of Dallas Public Improvement District, PID, policy for the creation, renewal, administration, and management of PIDs in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 372 of the Texas Local Government Code to allow Tourism Public Improvement District boundary changes in accordance with House Bill 1136 legislation, which was approved this year, allowing the city to include property in a hotel public improvement district if such property could have been included in the district without violating the petition thresholds when the district was created, for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to the funded by assessments on Dallas hotels with 100 or more rooms. This item was pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmembers Narvaez, West, and Basil Dua. We do have two individuals who have signed up to speak on this item. When I call your name, will you please come forward? Carol Bell Walton. Individuals, we will be given 3 minutes to speak.
Well, congratulations on everyone's election in June or earlier. I wanted to talk to you about the TPID today, because I think if you expand the TPID, it's an opportunity that Dallas is losing big time. The TPID allows an expansion, a creation of basically a 2% visitor's tax. That's a lot of money and a lot of power. Now, the TPID also defines where that money is used. It'll be used primarily by the hotels, at least 90%. So you've got a 2% tax that just goes back to the hotels. But if you think way back when we did the American Airlines Center, we implemented a 2% visitor's tax. We implemented a 2% tax under the Brimer bill. And that tax was paid, it guaranteed the bonds on the American Airlines Center. And those bonds were paid back early because it was so successful. So we use that 2% visitor's tax for something that has been remarkable to Dallas. Or we can give it to the hotels. Now, the problem is that last year we had an unpleasant audit for Visit Dallas, and we found out that they were misrepresenting the number of citywide conventions, that there were some questionable expenditures and that kind of thing. When I look at the leadership on this TPID, I see that fully two-thirds of the leadership is overlaps Visit Dallas. Virtually eight people who serve on the board of the TPID are also the people that misrepresented the number of hotel citywide events that we had, and resulting in that pretty terrible audit. So I would encourage you to think about opportunity cost. That's when you have a resource, and if you commit it, you can't use that resource for anything else. that is an opportunity cost. So if you go in and you give the 2%, and this is just the expansion, the other 2% is already committed till 2029, but if you go in and you give this 2% to the hotels, you have effectively shut off any ability for Dallas to use the Brimer bill, because they're going to tell you that visitors' tax is topped out at 15% or 17% or whatever it is. So this is the biggest opportunity cost I've ever seen come before the Dallas City Council. You can use that 2% for something remarkable, or you can give it to the TPID. But you can't do both, because the hotel industry, the visitors, are not going to pay a 20% tax. I would also ask that Casey Thomas not participate in this vote, as he has a pending ethics matter regarding Visit Dallas and his tickets. Sweet use.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Timothy Dickey.
Thank you. I have a handout.
You can hand it to the officer to your right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Much of what I want to say was said by the previous speaker, but I'll try to be brief. The main thing that I would ask is that the council delay this decision today, because, as Ms. Bell Walton said, I think there are large, long-term, unintended or unexpected consequences to expanding the TPID, even including these 11 hotels. The Brimer bill is really robust, and since we used it for the American Airlines arena, that was why we did it. It's kind of sat there like a sleeping giant, but within that, and every penny of the hotel tax is precious. With the Brimer bill, we have the ability to put a hotel tax on for the Civic Center Hotel, an auditorium, a theater, an opera house, a music hall, an exhibition hall, a park, a zoo, an aquarium, municipal plaza, and a tourist development area. And I think these are really robust uses that we should consider, because these very areas are ones that, when it comes budget time, every penny we're trying to find, and yet the Brimer bill could, estimates are, generate anywhere from $17 to $22 million a year. Furthermore, there's a line in that section, it's 334 of the Texas Local Government Code, that says that any venue can't be put into the hotel tax and car tax, which are the big generators, can't be used in anything as part of a municipal park system. But if we could, in the next session, go and get a local carve-out, which is common, not necessarily guaranteed, but it's doable, theoretically, then we could use the Brimer bill, following a citizen referendum, to fund Fair Park or a tourist development area along the Trinity River, with that one change. So the long-term potential of this is enormous, and all I would ask is that you consider it and just delay the vote today to take time to look and see if there's some truth in what I'm saying, because I do believe it's true, and I think that it's something we should really consider, because the needs are great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes your speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is there a motion on item 17?
Mr. Basil, yes, Dua. Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to commit this item to a City Council Finance Committee charged with the responsibility for financial oversight to be briefed within 90 days, or if this committee is not formed within 90 days, to have this item briefed to the entire City Council at the next briefing meeting after the 90th day.
Second. Discussion? Mr. Basil Dua, do you have further discussion?
Well, I too am confused on exactly where we are and don't feel comfortable voting without more information. Several points have been brought to my attention, and I've met with different colleagues to see kind of where they stand, and it seems like the confusion is somewhat of a consensus across the board, and I don't think that it's best for us to go into this vote without having a clear understanding of the decision we are making today and the implications that it can have on possible decisions or opportunities with us going forward, specifically with re-implementation of the Brimer bill and seeing how these funds can be used. I did speak with Economic Development to figure out kind of where the amount of money that we had in TPID currently and how it's being spent, and ultimately I would feel much more comfortable for this to go to the appropriate committee before coming to a council vote.
Mr. Atkins? Thank you, Mr. Basildua.
Can I ask the city to manage your question, please?
Yes.
TC, would this hold up with calls and expenses that we got to pay in 90 days? Can you let us know? Because we just did a budget. I know bills got to be paid, so.
And so I'm going to make sure the staff is making their way up, because I'm sure there will be more questions. And in general, I would say, this PID, no different than any other PID, functions on a calendar year or fiscal year basis. And so it's my impression that this PID has contracts and expenses that they've agreed to within their work plan that they had expected to begin October when the new funding cycle started. And so I'd be concerned, quite honestly, about any long-term delay of appropriating and or allowing them to move forward with their particular PID operations. And that my belief was, I thought this item was really related to us making sure that we were in compliance with state law and consistent with all other PID operating types of environments, correct? So that answers your question. I would be concerned about any lengthy delay.
Okay, when you said lengthy delay, is 90 days too long? We just did a budget, and my concern, number one, that you know, the Brimer bill, you know, Mr. Kleiman, you know, we got to put on the docket to go down to Austin. It's going to be 2021 that we have bills. We got expenses going. Have you put this in your budget that you got some of the bills got to be paid? Is 90 days too long? I mean, I'm just trying to, looking at the budget, are we going to be shortfall somewhere?
So, again, this does not impact our budget. This is a budget and resources that we return to them from them assessing, meaning the hoteliers have agreed to an assessment that they assess themselves to then carry out their own work plans as it relates to supporting, I think, their industry. And so I'll defer to the team, but I would say this. It's my impression that as every year they set their budget, they are expecting to begin their fiscal year October 1, no different than we are. And so the approval of that would be necessary for that to happen. And so I'm not sure what would be different today than in 90 days and or beyond the clarification that we may be able to give today on any questions.
I guess you saying, ask your staff, I guess, Mr. Pohl and Michael, asking you.
So in regards to the assessment, I mean, it's a self-imposed assessment by the hotels to pay for services, for marketing, promotion, and advertising. As you know, TPIDs typically start October 1st. They have a number of contracts and services they need to provide to the area. So a 90-day delay may impact them. With that being said, I know we have some people from the TPID here, and they can kind of explain what they're going to utilize the capital for and what a 90-day delay will do to them providing services within the TPID area.
If you got someone there, it's a question. I want somebody to address the issue. So I understand.
Come on down.
Whoever can.
Right. So we have
good afternoon. My name is Fred Euler. I live at 10014 Fieldcrest Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75238. I am not currently the chair of the TPID. He asked me to represent him today as he was not able to make this meeting and he thought there may be some questions that needed answers.
Well, who are you exactly?
I am the immediate past chair of the TPID and was a member of the TPID Board of Directors since its beginning until 60 days ago
when after 43 years I retired from the hospitality industry and went ahead and retired.
He can't. Mr. Atkins, do you want to hear from this gentleman?
No, he cannot. He's not on the board.
Okay, he doesn't want to hear from you. Sorry.
Is he the one? Michael Inawarn?
If you don't mind restating your question, I'm happy to try to answer that for you.
Balzoo, your motion is set up to 90 days, so it could come back be sooner, right? But if we don't have a committee, it had to be a full briefing. That what you're asking for? I guess, say the manager, the motion on the table is that up to 90 days, can you come back for a full briefing if we do not have a committee to expand? I know our budget year is October 1st. Can you come back sooner? So would that hurt us on October 1 in our budget trying to pay bills? Mr. Manager.
Councilman Askin, if I may, I believe that the full briefing would include a lot of what you have in Exhibit A. For item number 17, essentially what we're trying to do is update the policy itself to be in compliance with an audit that we reported to you all as a council back in May, where it was identified that we're...
But some of the councilmen was not there in May.
That's correct.
So therefore they do not understand
right.
what
But that
happened.
Briefing that you're suggesting that we might do in 90 days would essentially just be a PowerPoint presentation of Exhibit A. Because that's all we're asking to do at this point. We're not asking to proceed with changes to legislation or changes to anything else other than this particular policy. Adding a few hotels to the designated list so that they could be assessed and the money could be used properly.
I'll throw my...
Thank you very much. Mr. Kleiman, you're next, but did you have a question? Okay, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just some clarification. So this is to propose to put how many more hotels in the TPID that were not in there or not currently in there?
So as part of the audit finding, a number of hotels were making donations, and so this basically fixes that.
A number of hotels were doing what?
A number of hotels were not making donations to the TPID. So this corrects that.
They were not making contributions to the TPID.
They were donations that could not be utilized for TPID services. And so audit finding was put out there, and this basically fixes that by adding 11 hotels.
Okay, but those 11 hotels were not in the past. Could they not operate under the same budget they're operating under this year until we get this sorted out?
The budget was set roughly about 3 years ago in 2016. The budget for the TIF is $19,133,000, so the budget does not change. This is more or less complies with state law, what we're doing.
Okay, but if these 11 hotels were not in the TPID before?
Not officially, no. They were not in the TPID before.
What does that mean, not officially?
They were not legally authorized to make contributions to the TPID, so we cannot utilize the money within the TPID from those 11 hotels. This fixes that.
Did we assess these 11 hotels during that period?
They made donations, more or less.
They voluntarily contributed the funds.
And what happened to those funds?
They were not utilized. They're sitting there within
sitting
the TPID account.
Where?
In the TPID account.
The city's TPID account.
Visit Dallas TPID account. So the TPID is managed by Visit Dallas.
So these funds were not used?
Yes.
And they've operated a budget without using these funds for the last several years?
That is correct.
So to go one more year without using these funds while the council sorts out whether we want additional 11 hotels in the TPID, why does that change the budget? I don't understand how that prevents them providing the services.
They are providing services, sir. To comply with state law, HB 1136.
Okay. In what way? I mean, are we not compliant with state law right now by just not having them in the TPID? Is it required by state law that we adopt them into the TPID?
It does not, sir, but the audit finding came. came out more or less. These donations were sitting there because they have no authorization to utilize the funds. So we're fixing that.
No, I understand that, but the donation is sitting there, and if they're not in the, if the city council does not decide to put these 11 hotels in the TPID, I guess they could send those donations back to those hotels.
I couldn't answer legal questions.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't see where the where there's a budgetary impact by delaying this a couple of 30 to 90 days. I don't understand whether if they're not using the if the funds have been donated in lieu of being assessed, but then it's been declared that the TPID cannot use those funds. What's the difference?
Let me try to clarify.
Thank you.
So item 17, basically it places the 11 or so individuals that were not paying but doing donations that we could not spend their monies that they've donated in the past and putting them into the PID officially to allow us to do that. And item, I believe, item 61 later on, or 60, both, 60 and 61, has these new 11 now incorporated into and the revenues from them associated with them in item 60 and 61. So if you do not approve this item to put this group in, when you get to 60 or 61, whichever one it is, it's written to now include them and their resources and their budget now and the impact. You'd have to carve them out of those items later on if you did not want to include their resources. But the issue that you'll see later in the agenda beyond 60 and 61 is there's several PIDs that we're approving their annual allotment of resources. This item solely relates to including the additional 11, I believe, to allow them to be able to contribute.
So in 60 and 61, staff presumed the council would pass 17 and therefore wrote a budget based on that presumption.
Councilman Kleiman. So the budget wasn't written by staff. These service agreements are presented by the PIDs themselves, the PIDs management organization themselves, so we don't write those particular budgets. And perhaps one way to look at this, another way to look at this is that not adding them does not mean that you cannot discuss what you would like to do with the Breyer Amendment Act bill, right? So to me, this has not very much to do with it. You can still add these, and if council would like to discuss other ways of taxing hotels or receiving taxes from hotels, you could still do that with adding this today. This doesn't preclude you not doing that.
Yeah, I think the concern, I don't want to speak for all my colleagues, but I think part of the concern is that once these certain hotels are in the TPID, there's kind of like no getting them out. And so there's a potential avenue of funding for some of the things, in particular Fair Park and other areas, that I don't think we should presume that the council wants to use the funds coming off of those new hotels to go into the TPID. And so I don't feel strongly that it's going to hurt us or hurt the TPID
right.
to delay this decision, hopefully less than 90 days. On these two budget items coming up, possibly a slight amendment saying, you know, showing the reduction in the budget until this issue is resolved. So we could at least pass a budget going forward for them and then work through it. Because while I haven't looked at the details, is it safe to assume that these budget items on here include converting all those prior donations into available cash for use in the TPID?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So it's a pretty big, it's not just this year's TPID contributions, it's several years of TPID
right.
contributions that are trying to loosen up. And I understand that, but it wouldn't preclude them from providing the level of services they're providing under the current budget. It's just they wouldn't be able to access the extended budget, and I think that could be workable for a short term. Thank you.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Mr. Kleiman is on it. The reason that I asked to pull this item was that there was a lot of confusion
what I was originally told isn't what I feel when we passed the item to put it to open the public hearing for this week. Last agenda meeting, it sounded like, it's just a compliance thing. And now it's like, no, it's more than just a compliance thing. You know, I have a lot of questions about all this money that's been collected. Why was it being collected in a TPID? I mean, that was an illegal collection by saying it was a donation. And so why was the TPID allowed to do that? And what it sounds more like to me is that we had 11 hotels that were giving a donation, which, again, however you want to see that as, and these 11 hotels were getting a benefit of the TPID when they actually didn't qualify because they didn't have the size of the number of rooms that qualified them to be part of the TPID, or for whatever reason that they weren't included in the TPID. And I get that we want to get into compliance. Well, I think the fastest way for Visit Dallas to get into compliance and to fix this, to get their check on this audit item, is give the money back. Send it back to those hotels as we discuss and we figure out what we're going to do with this expansion, because a lot of things have come up. And I don't want to give up the opportunity that we may have something, an ability to have visitors pay a little bit of an extra tax that could help us with some of our gems that are in desperate need of help, whether it's Fair Park, the Music Hall, whether it's the Opera House. I mean, we still have to pay a lot of millions of dollars in the 99-year deal that we made with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. So these are some of the things that we could be doing that could then help us get some money back into our general fund. We give the Dallas Zoo, I think we just found out, $11 or $13 million, and if this could help pay for that, then we could move millions of dollars back into the general fund for some of the amazing programming that people are asking for as we look at our reimagining public safety. So being able to do this is we can carve this out. Let's delay this, and the items that staff is talking about later in the agenda, we can carve these 11 out. And then if we decide we want to put these 11 in after we get briefed, because I'm sure the mayor will be making those appointments very, very soon.
Very, very.
Very, very soon, you know. But I think that Mr. Bazaldua's amendment is, his motion is very good, just to make sure the mayor has enough time, because we don't want to force the mayor to do something he may not be ready to do and say, oh, you've got to do them in a week, because that wouldn't be fair to him as well. And I think by doing that, we get a full briefing, and then we can vote on this in the future, and we might go ahead and put it in because it looks great, and we may not because it doesn't look so great. And I think that this is a solid motion that will make the entire council feel confident in what we're going to be able to do with this, because, again, I don't want to give up the ability to have a dime of money that we have the potential to use to make the quality of life as amazing as possible here in the city of Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, to reply to Mr. Navarez, just to clarify some things.
Sure.
Yeah. So, firstly, the budget for the TPID for this year does not include those 11 hotels, right? This is for the next year. We just confirmed that. Secondly, the city, I just want to make known, did not assess these 11 hotels that were not in the TPID. They voluntarily provided that money into the TPID, and it's also my understanding that we did ask if they would like it back, and they have denied that as well.
Okay. Ms. Mendelson.
One last thing, sir. Since the Mr. Atkins' question and the gentleman that came up earlier was not part of the TPID, the TPID representative is here now.
Mr. Atkins, would you like to have him come and?
Yes, please. I guess you can call me a TPID representative. I'm going to try to answer some questions for you. My name is Ken Benson. I'm a public affairs consultant in town. One of my clients is the Tourism Public Improvement District. Another one of my clients is the Hotel Association of North Texas. A couple things for you. Number one, maybe to help you work your way through these two agenda items. Number 17 is a process ordinance. It's a step of a process to add hotels to the TPID. And as the gentleman just said, it's going to take effect next year, not this year. So what you're voting on today on 17, from our perspective, is to approve the process to bring more hotels into the TPID. Why that's important is the TPID was formed, the new one, was formed 3 years ago with about 102 hotels. We continue to have hotels built in Dallas at a continual rate that have 100 or more rooms, and that's the criteria for TPID hotels. We want to add them to the TPID. They want to be part of the TPID. We need to have a process to do that, and that's what ordinance number 17 is about. So that's the first thing. To get to your question, Councilman, about what how the TPID spends some money, that is the agenda item number 60 or 61, and the service plan that you all be approving. And that is just normally a process by where you all can say, yes, we approve your service plan, continue doing what you're doing. We'll be glad to meet with you and talk with you how we spend the money in the TPID. Some of the things that you just raised, we'll be glad to have those discussions. But the TPID budget is nothing more in the service plan, is nothing more than how we're going to spend our money the year ahead. We'll be glad to talk about the details, but that's sort of the difference between 17 and 60 on your agenda.
Thank you. Ms. Mendelson?
Thank you, City Manager. When I saw this item on the agenda, I had a number of questions, and so I reached out to the department and I asked for more explanation and the pros and cons of this item. And what I received was one pro and one con. And the pro was compliance with the bill, the HB bill, and our city policy. And the con was non-compliance with the HB bill and the city policy. Pretty clear that this is way more involved, and thanks to some citizens that reached out to council members to say, hey, there's an issue here, we're all asking a lot of questions, and it's gotten very interesting and a little complex, and I would like to have a briefing. I would like to know more about it, but I'm also concerned that I didn't get a very full answer when I did ask staff about it. I'm wondering if you have anything to say about that.
Yes, I do. One, I'll apologize if you don't feel the answer was sufficient and or in-depth enough. I think from a practical matter, as the gentleman just explained, it was really about adding the ability for other hotels to come in and not have to donate, directly responsive to the audit complaints and concerns about TPID revenues that were being collected and then another pot of money that was being collected that was unauthorized, so to speak, that was being collected. So I think that's the simple answer, and being in compliance is one. The conversation around, and I apologize, I didn't hear all the conversation around the Brimer bill and the impacts on future considerations. In my opinion, the understanding is those are separate issues and unrelated to this item and unrelated to the practical approval of a work plan on 60 or 61, and not directly impacting this item. Again, if that was the case, it's my impression that our legal department and staff would have opined and advised against doing this if that was the case. So again, I don't believe that there are material connections between the two, and to talk about the Brimer bill, which has existed and before this item and will continue to exist in its current state after the item, and then to change the law related to that is 2 years away. The connection with this item and then the perfunctory item of approving the TPID annual action plan, I would argue there are 15 other PIDs also on this agenda that do different types of services. This one happens to deal with tourism and may have some effect on that extra 2% for the Brimer bill, but I don't believe these items today have any direct correlation to what you're voting on today that affect those things that I think were brought up today. So again, we might have more discussion, but I do not think it would change materially anything around item 17 for sure, but I can't speak to how the work plans might be able to be modified, but many of the things you may have talked about wanting to do with the resources may not even be allowable by the current law. So I think, again, we've got city attorneys and others who can opine on the specifics of that, and you could call them up for those kind of questions. But again, I would hope that we would stick with the item and what we believe the intention of the item was, and if you don't want to approve it today, we will come back and we will brief you, and hopefully what we've said today will bear out later on.
So I feel like I didn't get an answer that was sufficient for me to be able to do my fiduciary responsibility on this item, and I would like to have a briefing because I have a number of questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mendelson. Ms. Arnold.
Thank you. Well, I'll just say this. I appreciate the comments that I've heard today. And colleagues, if you look on the document, you might notice that there's one number missing from the districts, District 4. So I just need to know, are there any hotels out there that I'm not aware of, I mean, that are there that could be in this TP? Just so I want to put that on the record.
There are no hotels in District 4.
Say it again.
There are no hotels in District 4 that meet the requirement, 100 rooms or more.
Okay. So perhaps we can move colleagues to that along the lines of maybe eventually pushing so that we can get equity in District 4 with hotels that have 100 rooms or more that meet the qualifications. Now, the question I have, just so that you can help me to understand, why would a hotel voluntarily give money to a fund and they have no benefits?
So, good afternoon, Councilwoman. There are a number of services that hotels can apply for that would use TPID funds.
If they're not members, you talk about 11 hotels.
Yeah. So generally, they benefit from the marketing and the promotion of the City of Dallas and staying at these hotels and enjoying the entertainment that the city has to offer, right?
Okay.
Specifically, if you are a member, there are some other programs that you can apply and receive funds
okay.
for.
Okay. So on an average, what are they donating on an average?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to.
Okay, just want to know.
Someone else here.
Thank you.
It's a 2% fee added to the hotel room, just like a regular hotel occupancy tax is 13%. We added 2% to make it a 15% tax in Dallas. 2% of that is assessed by the hoteliers on their hotels into the TPID. And the reason that they assess themselves that 2% is because the TPID is designed to put heads in beds. It's the money that goes into the TPID is used to market Dallas as a destination of choice, to bring people to Dallas that will stay in Dallas hotels. And since the TPID took effect in 2012, the occupancy in Dallas hotels has gone up by more than 20%. Visitor spending in Dallas has gone up by more than 30%. And we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of hotel taxes coming into the city and the number of taxes that are going to the city in terms of the hotel tax, but also sales tax and property tax.
All right. So on these 11 that have been voluntarily given money, what does that translate to in these percentages? What does it look like?
It's going to depend on how many room nights that they've got. There's not going to be an average.
So there's no trail, no paperwork where we can determine
You'll be able to track it through your normal hotel taxes collected and given to the city. But in terms of what's the average per hotel, there's 102 or 104 official hotels in the TPID right now. Dallas is the second largest market in the country in terms of the number of hotel rooms that is being added to the market. We're only behind New York City. And part of the reason for that is that Dallas has become a destination of choice, and part of the reason for that is the Tourism Public Improvement District.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm trying to get to, because I feel like the more I keep asking the questions, the more we probably do need to get the briefing, because
yeah.
I just need to know why 11, what type of check or that 11 hotels are giving back from what they're assessing on the hotel room so that I can see the figures.
That's an easy number for us to get to you at some point, but I can't give you to you today.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. All right, so we don't know how much money they're giving. I do appreciate the fact that we're having this conversation. I do have the confidence, of course, of the city manager. However, this is in terms of this is just procedural, but I think in terms of where we are in terms of May having agreed upon this and you have several new members who are coming here and need more clarification so as we move forward, whether it's understanding the Brahmer bill, do you have a list of the 11 hotels that are wanting to be included? You don't have that today either? Oh, can you give it to me? All right, so knowing who the 11 hotels were so everybody can get that information. So I just think it's good for transparency that we get that and ask other questions where maybe we can get our hands on the money, as Mr. Navarez said. So perhaps we can use it for some things. And I know it's limited, but, you know, there are a number of things on my list that we could use them for. So thank you so very much for the discussion. But I will support some sense of briefing, especially for the members who are new and arriving here to represent their constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Basildua, I have to ask you, have you spoken once yet? Because I need to let everyone who hasn't spoken once speak before I let you speak again. All right, I'm going to go to Ms. Gates. I don't think I've spoken on this yet, and come back to you.
Thank you, Mayor. And this is, I would say, this is challenging. It's kind of difficult. I know you sent us a memo. I don't think the memo, thank you, Ken, for explaining that this starts the process. But so, Mike, I'm going to keep it brief. I think there's a lot of confusion to the table, which I think a briefing could be helpful related to the Brimer bill and the difference with the TPID. They're not, our TPID does not put us up to the limit. We could still have a Brimer bill go into effect. Is that correct,
that
Michael?
That's correct. You still have 2% left.
We still have that 2% available. So any of these hotels signing up doesn't impact the ability to go or collect another 2%.
That is correct.
And then it's important, colleagues, to understand that the TPID is an assessment that the hotels choose to assess themselves. They're not just saying, I'm going to assess it, you guys spend it as your, it's a way for them to market their hotels. And they have to sign up, and they've signed up originally, but these new hotels were not open at the time. And if they don't like the way, I mean, they will just unsign up and not collect the money. It's not like it's our money to spend. But the Brimer bill could give us the opportunity to spend money in different ways that could directly impact our park system or cultural arts.
Yes.
Arenas or such. So it's good we could have that briefing and understanding. But I just want to clarify, because Ken said that we were this item, all it does is the ability to have these hotels sign up. Is it going to hurt you if we just delay it today? No. Ken, come to the mic. I mean, so we can get it, because this has been
a discussion point with the hotel community in the city for about 2-3 years, because we knew this issue of what do we do about new hotels.
Right.
This is a city solution to how we add.
Okay.
So
if we approve.
Whatever city works for them, we'll work.
Okay. If we approve your item that's later, whatever, 6162, that has the plan in it, then we could do this late. It doesn't prohibit these hotels from coming on board later. Right. So there's really no harm to delaying it, sounds like. And then I think everybody in this council will feel a little more comfortable with the process. And I think they'll understand the purpose of the TPID, and we could have the TPID there, and then you could understand how you're spending money and the plans later. So I'd support that. I think we can get it done, hopefully, a lot quicker than 90 days. So.
Mr. Blewett.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little help with where I'm trying to go. I don't know if this is a friendly amendment or if it's a call to question. But I see a lot of people that want to talk, and I actually have a lot of questions also. And rather than specifically follow Mr. Basildua's motion, I would like to just delay this subject to either a full council briefing or committee or however we phrase it. But I don't really want to do this. Is that just a call to question, or is it a friendly amendment, or what is that?
No, what, hold on.
So I just want to delay this subject to a full briefing rather than continue to have all these questions
or you can just make that amendment to this motion to take out the 90 days part.
Well,
of it,
my 90 days was just within 90 days, and that was in hopes that the committee was able to be formed and briefed by then. If they weren't, the reason I gave any timeline was so that at that point the full council could then be briefed. But my motion was not with the intent of it lasting 90 days.
Yeah, for me, it's just a point of clarification, and I would prefer to delay it, but have it be more subject to specific briefings. So that's just a clarification point, or?
Well, no, that's exactly what my motion is.
Okay.
I move to commit this item to a City Council Finance Committee. So it is to be briefed by the appropriate committee. If the committee is not in place, it is to be briefed to the full council.
I could support that.
Within 90 days. It has to happen within 90 days.
You've got to put your mic back on.
All right, so then call the question.
With objection.
What did you do?
Call the question.
Objected to calling the question. One objects, debate keeps going.
All right. So, I didn't hear what you said last. Did you decide to make another motion or call the question?
So I'm calling the question.
Okay. With objection, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry?
With objection, Mr. Mayor. By objecting, one member of the body objects to calling the question. The debate must still continue.
I don't know if that's the rule. I think we vote on the calling the question.
I think you vote on my question.
And so when you call the question, I believe we take the vote, and I believe it's just done or not. And it's what's the threshold? Supermajority. All right. So all in favor of calling the question, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
All right, we need to do a show of hands on this one. All in favor of calling the question, say aye. Or show their by raising their hands. Do you count the hands, Mr. Secretary? All opposed to calling the question, raise your hand.
I counted four.
So
with 14 members present, that remains 10. That's two-thirds.
Yep.
It passes.
Okay. So debate's closed. It's time to vote on Mr. Basil Dewitt. Would you please restate the motion?
Thank you, Mayor. I move to commit this item to the City Council Finance Committee charged with the responsibility for financial oversight to be briefed within 90 days, or if this committee is not formed within 90 days, to have this item briefed to the entire City Council at the next briefing meeting after the 90th day.
People who still have their lights on, is that by accident? Or okay, that's what I thought. All right. You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Record vote's been requested. Record vote's been granted. Madam Secretary.
Please start voting. 13 have voted. 13 have voted. 13 have voted.
I voted.
13 have voted. 14 have voted. With all members present voting in favor, the motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
All right. So
the
motion is adopted. Next item.
We'll now move to your items for individual consideration. Agenda item 41 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This afternoon, we have several full council and individual appointments. Nominees for full council appointment to the Civil Service Board, Chandra Marshall Henson is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. To the Cypress Waters Municipal Management District for the 2019-2023 term, Brett A. Johansson is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Mr. Johansson meets the agent, employee of person covered by subsection 2 resident. To the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board, Cedars Area, Darlene Snyder is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, Melissa Pricer is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board, Sports Arena, Maria G. Garcia is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Will Pinkerton is being nominated by Councilmembers Narvaez and West. To the Reinvestment Zone 19 Board, Cypress Waters, Marguerite Buccino is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Nominees for individual appointment. To the Community Development Commission, Archie D. Nettles is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. Mr. Nettles meets the active in South Dallas Fair Park community special qualification. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Peter M. Young is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. To the Community Police Oversight Board, Janice M. Coffey is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Civil Service Board adjunct members, Althea Ann Harrington is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Brad Nitschke is being nominated by Councilmember West. And Juan J. Garcia is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Joseph William Moore is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and John Russell Holloway is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. to the Municipal Library Board. Jay Lorch is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Donna Slater is being nominated by Councilmember Resendez. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Jerry C. Baker is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue. Ms. Baker meets the 55-plus years of age special qualification.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The appointees are all approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to agenda item 42. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue has a conflict of interest and will be leaving the council chamber. Item 42 is a resolution designating an absence by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem B. Adam McGue as being for official city business.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue, you may return to the council chamber. We'll now move to addendum item 1. Addendum item 1, authorize the endorsement of Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Adam McGue as the city's candidate for the 2020 National League of Cities Board of Directors.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor? Any opposed? The motion's adopted. Congratulations.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your agenda for this session.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your agenda for this session.
Okay. Well, it's 4:07, and we will now go into recess, and we will reconvene at 6 p.m. All right, members, we have a quorum again, 6:06 p.m., and I call this meeting of the Dallas City Council back to order. Madam City Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, at this time, Councilmember Arnold would like to be recognized on agenda item 45.
Chair recognizes Councilwoman Arnold.
On item 45, I move to defer this item to the October 8th, 2019 City Council meeting.
Members, you've heard the motion. It's been seconded. Is there any discussion? Councilwoman Arnold?
We just need more time to prepare our position in terms of research and making sure that all the stats and the supporting data is intact and in hand. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, Councilmember Narvaez would like to be recognized on agenda item 47.
Chair recognizes Councilman Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to remand this item to the City Plan Commission.
Second. Second.
Discussion. Councilman Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to let my colleagues know, please support this remand. The community who, the vast majority are sitting right over here on the right from West Dallas. If you raise your hand, and there's some up at the top up there, and over here on the left side, are in high opposition of the plan as it is right now, but they are still willing to work with the developer, if the developer would like to work on density, adding green space, to work on mixed housing. They are not afraid of development. They just want to make sure that we have good, smart, friendly neighborhood development in the district, and I applaud them for being here. And I also applaud them for sticking out and making sure that they make sure that their neighborhood voices are heard. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Items deferred.
We'll now move to your zoning consent docket. Your zoning consent docket consisted of agenda items 43 through 45. Agenda item 45 was previously deferred. Therefore, your zoning consent docket consists of agenda items 43 and 44. I'll read those items into the record. Agenda item 43 is a public hearing and one, an ordinance granting an MU-1 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant, and two, an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 742 for a nursing home use on property on the north side of Forest Lane west of Greenville Avenue. Agenda item 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a MU-3 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the south side of Mississippi Avenue between Vicksburg Street and Gretna Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the zoning items in opposition to the zoning items that were just read into the record? Any speakers that would like to speak in favor? I'm sorry? Agenda items 43 and 44. Any speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Item is approved.
We'll now move to agenda item 46. Agenda item 46 is a public hearing regarding a City Plan Commission authorized hearing to determine proper zoning on property generally bounded by Pickwick Lane on the west, the alley north of Northwest Highway on the north, Baltimore Drive on the east, and Northwest Highway on the south, and an ordinance granting the amendments.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 854 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 162 replies in favor and 599 in opposition. Due to opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area of request as well as within the area of request, this will require a three-quarters vote to approve.
We had several individuals who have signed up to speak on this item, but because of the number of speakers, I would like to call any speaker that would like to speak in opposition to this item forward, including the ones that have registered or that did not register. If you're here to speak in opposition to this item, will you please come forward? My staff will direct the line if it gets too long. Individuals will be given 1 minute to speak. And the first speaker can come forward. Just please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Bill Kreitzer, 6211 West Northwest Highway, Dallas. Again, my name is Bill Kreitzer. I've been resident and District 13 constituent for PD15 for over 10 years. I consider that today will be the most important decision that we made by the mayor and 14 members of the Dallas City Council regarding the redevelopment plan for PD15 in Dallas history. This evening, all of you in the Horseshoe will set the precedent for the future of not only our community, but for the many neighborhoods just like ours for reasonable, responsible development. Democracy is one core that we all have fortunate to have in common, where citizens exercise power by voting directly on an issue. The issue, whether it be local, city, state, or federal level, is one that is being represented to each and every one of you as the elected officials of this great city. The homeowners, as was mentioned, 80% oppose the plan development in front of you, and that is something that each of you will make that decision with 80% opposition.
Thank you.
Next speaker in opposition.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and fellow city council members. My name is David Chortek. I live at 6806 Wagner Drive, Dallas, Texas. I also own a condo at Preston Tower. For several years, I was president of the Preston Hollow North Homeowners Association, as well as a former member of the Dallas Board of Adjustment. I am opposed to the matter before you for the following reason. The Dallas Housing Authority's mission statement reads, "Our mission at DHA is to provide affordable, quality housing and access to supportive resources across North Texas." I support the city's goal of providing more affordable housing, especially in the northern sectors of the city. However, PD 15 and the surrounding streets provide the only affordable housing in the Preston Hollow and North University Park neighborhoods. Rents in the PD 15 neighborhood are approximately $1 per square foot, while the newer properties such as the Laurel at the corner of Preston Northwest Highway are renting for approximately $2.50 per square foot, and a new high-rise would probably command rents in the $3 per square foot range.
Thank you.
It begs the question, why are we destroying the architecturally interesting affordable housing for expensive high-rise living?
Thank you.
Next speaker in opposition.
My name is Susan Cox, and I live at 6715 Desco Drive. And I would just like to say that I've heard the term best use tossed around a lot. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. And I would just like to say that I think best use has already been determined by an area plan that was a compromise plan between neighborhoods and developers some years ago. And I would just encourage that all of the council members here to think about if 80% of the people in your district were opposed to a new billboard being proposed, wouldn't you protect your neighbors and wouldn't you vote against the new project in the neighborhood? This is a seismic change to zoning, and I think none of you really have all the information, but I would encourage you to listen to 80% of the people who voted no two times against the city's plan. And please do not let politics affect this important policy decision. I hope you will vote no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Jim Olvera. I live at 6130 Del Norte Lane. In the first row of houses that back up to PD 15, the reason that we moved to our house 22 years ago is that the neighborhood was one of the very few that was left unchanged with mid-century modern houses, and we liked that. We were moving from another neighborhood in Oak Cliff, which had very well-preserved houses, and when we moved, we wanted to be able to have better schools, and we also wanted to be able to live in a place that we thought would remain unchanged for a long period of time. What we see happening and what we have seen happening over a number of years is that there have been gross changes in the area around us, and we don't want to see a new development that will further endanger the feel of the neighborhood.
Next speaker.
Mayor Johnson, Council, my name is Barbara DuBerry. We live at 6335 West Northwest Highway. Please consider the power that you have tonight over our lives. You have the power to save our neighborhood or to destroy it. Even Robert Wolanski with the Dallas Morning News said there was something special about our neighborhood. You might have seen his article. He said the neighborhood's worth saving. So please consider this before you vote. And we ask you with great and humble passion, please vote no and save our neighborhood.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Carla Purcell Young. I live at 6335 West Northwest Highway. One of the reasons we're here today is something called the authorized hearing. This was put in place by the CPC. The authorized hearing is put in place because it works in the favor of developers and not neighborhoods. The authorized hearing also silenced the voice of the neighborhood, and we were completely ignored after 2 years of trying to offer a compromise to the developers. We were silenced. Some of you may not care what happens in my neighborhood, but voting against a neighborhood majority vote and dismissing democracy is not a message you should send to the citizens of Dallas. This issue is simple. You're going to vote for developers or you're going to vote for neighborhoods? I ask you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker in opposition.
James Christen, 6105 Averill Way. Lived there 28 years and hope to be there another 28 years. It was a number of years ago the Texas legislature passed House Bill 476, and that's where the 200-foot notification area. And this was put in to protect the homeowners. And then in 1962, the Texas Supreme Court explained that the provisions requiring notice are intended for the protection of the property owner and are his safeguards against the exercise of arbitrary power. So now we have 80% voting it against you, oppose it. We've got to listen to that. We've got to listen to that. And I, being a developer, if this got defeated, I would welcome the developers to come back and make a zoning case as you normally do, and we will work with them to what's good for them and for us. Democracy means a government in which the people hold the ruling power, majority rule. Is the 80% a majority or not? Y'all answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's a first. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I am Chrissy Hirsch. I live at 6335 West Northwest Highway, and I'm a native Dallasite and a lifelong educator. Because the time is being cut short, I'm going to just go right straight to the point. I have two words for you, respect and responsibility. I think that's what this boils down to. It's what I try to instill in my students. For respect, do you respect the will of 80% of the neighborhood who's voted in opposition to plans two times? Respect for the partial vote that at last review was almost 2-1 in opposition to the city plan. Respect for the over almost 1,200 people who've taken time to access the online petition to sign their opposition to the plan. And respect for the four Dallas comprehensive plan and the neighborhood plans, all of which are an effort to work in consensus. And last is responsibility. Responsibility for the vote entrusted to you by the citizens who elected you. Responsibility to uphold the right of citizens to have a voice in their neighborhood, to support neighborhoods over developers, and to uphold the democratic value of listening to the majority of the people.
Thank you
for your time. Please vote no and defend our neighborhood.
Next speaker.
Council members, Mayor, city staff, thank you for your time. My name is Lisa Williams. I own two properties in PD 15, one a low rise and one actually in the PD 15. I've lived there for over 15 years. I'm asking you to vote no on the current proposal. I am for responsible development for PD 15 that is harmonious for our neighborhood. 80% of our homeowners voted no. They disapprove. The point system is also confusing. I don't know why this was put into our zoning. It's only used in 2% of zoning cases. This makes no sense. There are three-story buildings in this area that have been built. So density needs to be lower. It can be lower is what I'm trying to say. There's no good reason to increase the density so substantially. So I ask you, please listen to the residents and vote no on this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Sharon Stone. I live at Royal Arms. I've lived behind the pink wall for 13 years. Thanks for having us here today. Democracy, by definition, is government by the people with majority rule. The people have spoken not once but twice with their ballots, with the blue ballots and the green ballots. 80% of the neighborhood opposes the city's plan. Not only our neighborhood, neighborhoods beyond the pink wall, Park, Preston Hollow, Devonshire, Windsor, Park, Carruth, the Meadows, they have all spoken up, and these are the united voices of Dallas that are showing up and letting the city know that we want reasonable development. We don't want the New York style. I've lived in New York for 15 years, and I can assure you that is not what the neighborhood wants. What we want is to preserve the integrity and the beauty of this very special neighborhood behind the pink wall. So now we turn to you, and we are relying on you to listen to your constituents, not just to the developers or to those who are seeking to profit, who invariably will leave the neighborhood. Dallas deserves better than that, and we're counting on you. Together we can work together for a better plan for reasonable development in PD 15 and for the future of all of Dallas. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
I'm Arthur Burwald. I reside at 5714 Lindenshire in Dallas. I own a condo at the Athena in PD 15. I see no positive benefit to this proposed amendment because the authorized hearing allows for a developer to drive the process and effectively cut off any discussion of responsible development and ignores the impact of the community. A good example of the developer's crafted process is their point system. It's designed to allow developers to avoid the normal zoning application process and zoning standards. The authorized hearing process and the avoidance of normal zoning process has effectively bypassed democracy since developers are not required to submit a specific plan for review by affected property owners. The neighborhood exercises democracy and rights to vote on a developers-driven city staff plan and the CPC plan. In both cases, 80% overwhelmingly voted no. I urge you to vote no as well.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Grover Wilkins, Royal Arms, 6332 Bandera. Two smart developers left early on to build in this most desirable space. They offered to pay generously as long as the residents of the two distressed properties could arrange for the zoning they demanded. There were two straw committees that had been formed in the hope of getting support for those proposals that neither committee actually had access to. This was starting to look like a fixed game. When a private invitation-only meeting was held in a local restaurant to hear the developer's proposed zoning and its implications for the PD, we saw how cavalierly the developers were prepared to overwhelm the surrounding neighborhood in bulk and shadow. Shock set in, and members of the steering committee, the earlier working group, and other neighbors saw no recourse but to fight the money and the city's secret planning with these developers. We preferred to fight for reasonable development that we had worked to prepare and offer to the city.
Thank you.
Why were we hearing from only two developers?
Thank you, sir.
We are asking today for you to vote no.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Bob Walker. I live at 6123 Northwood Road. And I think that what I'd like to express to you is that it was only about 2 years ago when many of you voted for and went towards a master plan in this area. The only impetus that is suggesting that we change that whatsoever is the fact that a group of relatively uninsured or underinsured people happened to be in a position where they could not replace that which existed previously. You voted on this 2 years ago. Many of you who are sitting here did. We simply would like for you to honor that which was done previously and that you voted on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last speaker in opposition.
My name is Steve Dawson, 8440 Tulane Street, Dallas, Texas. I was appointed by Jennifer Gates to serve on the Area Plan Task Force. It's been 22 months since many of you at the Horseshoe voted unanimously to support what was a consensus document that took us 18 months to arrive at. We had to balance the people in favor of development against the people who were opposed to overdevelopment. We have always welcomed the opportunity to have reasonable development, and yet we were shut out of this process by the authorized hearing process. It is a developer-driven process. It's flawed. The way they did it was underhanded, and we are offended by it. And this isn't the last you're going to hear from us. After you approve this, we're coming back.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to... Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation? If there are, please come forward, and my staff will line you up accordingly. The first speaker can come to the microphone. Each individual will be given 1 minute to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ken Newberry. I live at the Royal Orleans. Thank you, Jennifer Gates. Thank you, Margot Murphy, and the entire city staff for your tireless efforts over these many years to help create this wonderful zoning plan that lies before you. I want to especially thank the City Planning Commission for moving their recommendation forward and their vote to include the points plan and the tall option. The points plan and the tall options were overwhelmingly approved to provide incentive options for more space, more open space, more green space, more landscaping, more walkability, and a way to incentivize developers to pay the high cost for underground parking, infrastructure, and traffic flow improvements at our important intersections. I ask you to vote yes for the CPC proposed conditions with the CPC recommendations that were overwhelmingly improved and intended to maximize the benefits to all the residents of PD 15, our neighbors,
PD
15, and Preston Hollow. Again, I ask you to pass the CPC proposed conditions.
Next speaker.
I'm Mary Ann Scott. I live at 6307 Diamond Head Circle, Unit 204, Dallas 75225. Honorable Mayor and City Council members, I'm here asking for you to vote in support of the City Plan Commission to develop PD 15. I would like to speak on the issue of affordable housing. I am very much in favor of affordable housing, but the building that I live in is in such bad condition that it is certainly not something that could continue standing. We have 14 units with a garage apartment, many, many long-term repairs that we could no longer afford to do. Preston Place burned, and if these buildings are allowed to stay, there may be a similar tragedy. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker.
My name is Jasper Neal. I live in 6306 Diamond Head Circle, one of the six buildings in PD 15. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. I have followed the City Planning Commission all the way through this process, and I think they have been very thoughtful, very careful. They have listened to every voice repeatedly. I would like to focus on two issues. One is an extraordinary humanitarian crisis. We have 60 families who lived in Preston Place whose houses have burned. They've had nowhere to live now for years. Some of those people are elderly. They have no house. They have lived with relatives. They have done as best they could. Some of them were younger. Incredibly, they are paying mortgages on air. So we've got 60 families. It's not me. It's not my building. But I'm 30 feet away from it. It is a frightening, terrifying hulk. You would not want to see that when you come out every morning. The Diplomat across the alley from me is a tired, worn-out building. It cannot be replaced. This plan will bring development, and it will solve the problem that I think we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Antonia DiNardo. Any great idea is always met with resistance. My father and I have owned our unit at Preston Place Condominium since 1984 and have several other properties behind the pink wall as well. We lost everything the night of the fire on March 3rd, 2017. The urgency in resolving the PD 15 zoning matter is crucial in being able to move forward with our lives. The opposition is, of course, entitled to their opinion. However, there's a lot of misinformation. How many more residents of Preston Place need to die before seeing a return on their financial investment? There have been three so far. I'm confident that voting in favor of the proposed rezoning will add much-needed prosperity and growth behind the pink wall. My father and I still live in the area and hope to for a very long time. Thank you very much for your time and efforts regarding this pressing matter. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Milo Johnson. I live at 8610 Turtle Creek Boulevard. I don't come to give you a civics lesson. I came to ask you one question. Do you want to deny those people the ability to live in that neighborhood? It's very simple. It's very simple. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Thank you.
My name is Kurt Kerr. I own number 105 at the Royal Orleans. I've owned property in PD 15 for something like 20 years. The CPC and staff recommendation for PD 15 is good for Dallas and it's good for PD 15. It solves the problem of the destroyed Preston Place and its homeless residents. It solves the problem of the aging and underdeveloped three smaller units in PD 15. The solution and benefits of the recommendation are clear. If this isn't accepted, what will be? If action isn't taken now, when will it be? Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Candace Evans. I live at 11407 West Rick Circle in District 11, but our family trust owns Unit B at 6121 Averill Way at the Seville. My daughter lives in Imperial House. She and many others there are in support of the development. The against voices you are hearing are mostly from the various homeowner association boards who do not fully represent their property owners. About 40 to 50% of the condos in this area are rentals like mine, but I wanted you to know that the full board of the Seville is in full support of this development. We have written about the Pink Wall extensively. It was named by Eddie Halliday. Jennifer Flowers once lived there. There was to be a third tower, and the Athena was actually supposed to be 40 stories. The area was originally zoned for commercial development, but it became largely garden apartments. Anyhow, I had a lot more to say, folks. We only have 1 minute. I don't want to take a lot of your time. I'm obviously for this. I would encourage you to reach out to us, and I've emailed all of you. Please vote for this. These people need to move on with their lives at Preston Place, and I think this is a very fair thing for the neighborhood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening. My name's Mike Kruger. I live at 6531 Desco, so I'm in the single-family neighborhood adjacent to PD 15. I'm in favor of the zoning changes because I'm in favor of growth. I think the city of Dallas needs to continue growing, and a big city cannot retain the same density. Zoning is not meant to be eternal and never changed. The Central Business District was single-family homes 120 years ago, so we have to have change. I trust the traffic studies. I don't think that the traffic is going to get worse. I think the traffic on Northwest Highway is caused by things. We heard during the task force that residential housing it will not affect the traffic the same way as offices. So I'm in favor of this. The area is blighted. It's a bad front door to the neighborhood. It needs redevelopment. It needs new money and new blood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Maggie Sherrod. I live at 6307 Diamond Head Circle behind the Pink Wall and in PD 15. The future of our neighborhood is critically important to all of us in this chamber today. So please understand if you vote against the Plan Commission's recommendations, you will actually be voting against the future of our neighborhood. A vote no today will be a certain death for our community. It will be sending us to a future of decline and decay. The picture you have in front of you shows the current sea of concrete in the heart of our neighborhood. The image below that shows the future we can have if you say yes today to support the Plan Commission's recommendation. This is more than a compromise plan. This is a true victory for our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Mara Conley. I live at 6307 Diamond Head Circle, and I also own another condominium behind the Pink Wall on Bandera. Some of the towers say that their voices should carry more weight than the rest of us because they have more residents. Well, they live in towers. They've already got their density. If you look at the tract of land, and I know you've all seen it, the tract of land that the Athena sits on, and compare it to the tract of land that Diamond Head condominiums sit on, they're identical. What differentiates them is the height, the density. And now the people in the towers would like to deny that density to the people in the low-rise buildings because they got there first. That's not very democratic. They've also thrown around a number quite a bit of 80% of
that oppose this. I don't know where that 80% comes in. Nobody took a neighborhood poll. They certainly
didn't
include the people in the low-rise buildings if they were reaching out to get information. We've never heard of it. Okay. Thank you very much. Please vote in favor.
Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Bergamasco. I'm a survivor of the fire at Preston Place, where I lost everything, including friends, pets, everything you can think of. But I think we've gotten to a point now that our question really is about the best use for this land, and the people in the towers want to prevent, we wouldn't be provided that if they had their choice. So all we're asking for really are the same rights that they are already enjoying. And I think that the development will help this area. And I feel like if we don't develop it, it's really going to deteriorate more without the drainage and infrastructure issues that would be addressed with the developers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hi, Council. I'm Janie Bergamasco, as the youngest resident of Preston Place that burned down. I'd like to mention that the area is currently dilapidated and aging. If you look at some of the properties around Preston Place, they're currently boarded, abandoned. So I think that we'd run into the same issue in 15 years if we said no to the zoning, because, well, you know, we would have cheaper buildings that wouldn't be as good as that would be allowed with the new zoning. Also, the opposition mentions that 80% are opposed. Well, they're mentioning the two buildings next to them, which I agree with the previous comment that they're also enjoying higher density properties. Also, I represent the younger generation, and this is going to affect the future of Dallas. As you can see, most of the opposition is of an aging generation. Most of them probably are not working citizens paying current tax rates. This would be good for the city of Dallas because it would up our income for the city. And, you know, also, if you don't have density in the city, you end up like Los Angeles or any of those cities in California that currently have a housing crisis. If you don't allow density, then the city of Dallas can't grow for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hi, council members, Mr. Mayor. My name is Javier Rodriguez. I recently moved to Dallas from California, fleeing the housing crisis. And if Dallas doesn't build density for the future, in 20 years, there will be a housing crisis here because a lot of people, a lot of companies moving here, and I hope to build my future here, me and my partner Janie, who is still paying a mortgage on the Preston Place condominium that burned down, and we can't move forward unless this moves forward. Dallas can't grow for future generations like me. These guys, we're the future. They're not. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Thank you. Order, please. In the audience, please.
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the Preston Place HOA. Do not give our neighbors that which we have and enjoy. That is what the opposition is telling you. They have height and density. They've had it since the 70s. To deny that to their neighbors is not the spirit in which you were elected to lead this city. The reality is that this is as thoroughly a vetted zoning case as will ever come before you. There have been 2 years of community meetings, City Plan Commission hearings. It ended in an overwhelming vote, 12-1 of your City Plan Commission, to approve it. It culminates with you here this evening, and you've heard what my clients have at stake. This isn't just a canceled real estate contract. This is their lives. Their homes burned down over 2 years ago. Thankfully, it's just a land use decision, and it's an easy one. Your Plan Commission saw it, and we ask you to agree with them and approve it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker.
I'm Arnold Spencer. I live at 6239 Desco. I had a unit in Preston Place, and I had a second one where my grandmother lived before she passed away. The question before you, as I understand it today, is what's good for Dallas? And I'd like to remind you all of three different groups that have looked at this issue already. First of all, the city staff. We had dozens and dozens of meetings among the members of PD15. It is simply not true that no one had an opportunity to speak and provide input. It literally went on 2.5 years. Again and again, we're given opportunity for input. City staff comes forward and basically recommends the proposal that's before you today. Secondly, there was an election recently, in our district. Jennifer Gates ran generally favoring the development. Her opponent opposed it. Ms. Gates won by almost 30 percentage points in the district. The democracy of the district has spoken. And then the third group, as Mr. Mann just mentioned, was CPC. 12-1 in favor, 13 unanimous in favor. Do you want a $5 million cement shell, or do you want a $50, $80, $100 million tax revenue building on that property? Everybody should be voting for higher tax revenue.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Sandra Welch, and I live at 6333A Diamond Head Circle. I was fortunate enough to serve on the steering committee for the PD-15 authorized hearing. The idea of this whole process is, as I see it as we sit here tonight, this is about a zoning issue. It's not about what the building looks like. It's not about who owns the property. But it is about creating a zoning envelope that will attract, create, sustain development for this tiny little 12-acre plot of North Dallas for the next 50 years, not for the next five. Not something that would continue to show that we're in the 1960s, but taking us to the 21st century.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Mitchell Prasis. I live at Diamond Head Condominium, 6333 Diamond Head Circle. Dallas was just named the U.S. fastest growing city. The only city that beats us in development currently is New York City. Dallas is no longer, as a former resident of Los Angeles, a bench-warmer city. We are competing with the most esteemed and renowned cities of our nation. And I think, in all honesty, when you have a burned-out building and the building right next to it is in desperate need of repair, it's really not a question of if change will happen, but just a matter of when. And I hope that all of you will vote to have the answer to that question be now. And I do still have a little bit of more time in there. I know that there are a lot of people who would like to speak in favor of this, but didn't have the opportunity to prepare something. So I would like the opportunity, if you are in favor of this, to please stand and show your presence in this. It's a pretty resounding figure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor Johnson and City Council. I'm Claire Stannard, and I'm here in a neutral capacity. I am the city liaison for Preston Hollow South Neighborhood Association. We represent the entire area behind the pink wall, which includes PD 15. And the reason I'm speaking tonight is on behalf of Preston Hollow South Neighborhood Association, we want to commend Councilman Gates, Michael Morris, of the Council of Governments, North Texas Council of Governments, TxDOT, Mo Burr, and David Navarez of the City Transportation Department, as well as I'm sure Andrew and Neva had to write this up in their capacities. But what we want to commend is the agreement to open up Tulane Road to Northwest Highway. You know, it's one thing to do developments, and we take a neutral position on the heights and densities as a neighborhood association. We represent everyone. But it must function. Our mission is for it to protect and preserve. So we commend you for including this in the PD ordinance.
Thank you, ma'am.
Councilman Gay.
Next speaker.
Hi, my name's Kevin McMahon. I lived at Preston Place, the condo. My son was 5 years old the night that we walked out of that building when it burned down. He's now 8 years old today. In more than two years, the plan that's in front of you now has gone through a lot of development, a lot of input, and hopefully we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on this thing. To turn back now would be a real devastation to us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker.
Mr. Mayor and City Council, as people drive by the area of Preston Hollow, referred to as behind the pink wall, they see an area that is old and nondescript, not old and charming. The new proposed complex will warrant a wow as people drive by. It will create a renaissance for the entire area, which will result in a higher tax base, which will benefit the entire city of Dallas. And one more thought, might does not make right. Thank you.
Would you please state your name and address for the record?
Linda Meyer, 6800 Del Norte Lane.
Thank you. Last speaker in favor.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Christina Wilson. I'm a former resident of Preston Place Condominiums, and I currently live at 6800 Del Norte. I am still paying on a mortgage for the burnt out building. Being stuck is one of the worst things. People say change is hard. Well, there's something worse than change, and that's being stuck. And we have been stuck now for almost 2.5 years. I beg you to approve this zoning. Can't work my phone, so thank you for listening. Again, please, please remember the victims and the opportunity for a beautiful new structure could be a renaissance for
thank
that
you,
whole
ma'am.
Neighborhood. Let's not forget that.
Thank you very much.
This includes your speakers on this item, Mr. Mayor. This item will require 12 votes in favor for approval.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Chair recognizes Councilwoman Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm going to read my motion into the record, and then I'll have some comments and additional. I need to read some other documents in as well, and I'll explain it after. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. Add a public or private school as permitted by SUP only. Remove a material change from the definition of blank wall area. Remove the screening materials provision from the condition regarding screening of parking structures. Remove transparency requirements. Remove the provision of highly reflective glass. Remove multiple facade materials as an option under the point system. Develop impact review. A development impact review is required for multifamily and retired housing uses. Maximum structure height within 250 feet of Northwest Highway is 250 feet. Maximum structure height within 240 feet of Northwest Highway is 240 feet without the opportunity for an increase to 310 feet or the opportunity to increase density to 125 dwelling units per acre. Residential proximity slope applies to the entire property, and Section 51P-15.120A1B will read as follows. 1 point up to a maximum of 5 points for each 2.5% of building site area of the contiguous usable open space in accordance with Section 51P-15.115 and located adjacent to any interior north-south property line within sub-area B, any interior east-west property line, or the terminus of interior east-west property line.
Discussion, Councilwoman Gates.
Thank you. Find my notes. First, I want to acknowledge and thank everybody for coming down tonight. It's been a difficult, challenging 2.5 years for all parties involved. And it's been difficult to come up with a consensus to move forward. As you are aware, we've had this dates back. My council might not be, some of them weren't on board at the time, dates back to a Preston Center plan that you've heard referenced tonight, which was not a zoning document, but it was a plan and a vision for the future. It took a look at this area, which is behind the pink wall, or known as Zone 4 in the study, and it talks about the possibility of encouraging redevelopment to deal with the aged infrastructure, potentially doubling the density, and it does talk about a preferred vision that the current zoning will be changed as this area is redeveloped, permitting increased height as a trade-off for reduced lot coverage and other features that would improve the quality of life in the neighborhood and meet the needs of the community. It did talk about four stories, but it also wanted change. Four stories isn't possible to get change. That is the kind of change of open green space, underground parking, more walkable amenities for this neighborhood. We probably should have done a better job of vetting that to have some conflicting information in the study, but it's not a zoning document, and it anticipated zoning. It didn't anticipate the fire as quickly and the need for it to arise. With the fire, it was determined that PD 15 was a very unique area. It's, at the time, it was the only PD behind the pink wall. There was one that's since at the corner, but this was an area that had high rises and had all sharing. It had shared allowances, and it became evident early that there was not an opportunity for one of the parcels to apply, like in a normal zoning case with an applicant, because there was a zoning cap. And if they did request the cap to use those units, the four low rises all potentially had a possibility of needing redevelopment, and they would have perpetually argued over those that were available. And then it was staff's recommendation, the recommendation of the community, that we have this authorized hearing. So that is what's lasted over a year and a half. We've had, in this process, 5 working group meetings, 11 steering meetings, 5 community meetings. I know I've individually met an additional time with over 46 residents. And we've taken a look. And then it went through CPC. Now I'm going to talk to the recommendations that I contained in this, in my motion. I'm going to skip through. One of the primary concerns, and this was brought up, we heard Claire speak to this, is that we are creating a developable footprint. This isn't. There are developers that are interested. I don't know if there's some developers that have been interested. I know that probably won't be able to develop under this footprint, and then others could come forward. What we promised in the beginning was we're going to create a developable footprint. And with that, we don't know the actual development plan. And that's why this dealing with the circulation within the area is challenging. So we did have a meeting, and that's what I want to read into record, 2 letters from TxDOT. TxDOT is involved because Northwest Highway is a TxDOT road. And so any cuts into that road would have to be approved by TxDOT. So we wanted them to be aware and get an impression if that was possible or not. The neighborhood really would like to see 2 lanes open up to Northwest Highway so that the traffic into where the construction would be happening, as well as the new development, would have kind of its own entrance. So I'm going to read this into record, and this is from Mo Burr from TxDOT. Reference is made to our meeting. We had a meeting this September 5th, this past Monday, discussing access to LP 12 or Northwest Highway from 2 lane. TxDOT offers no objections to the proposed ride-in, ride-out driveway configurations discussed at the meeting. Should changes be considered, such as a driveway location, signalization, or construction of EB left turn lanes, be considered by the city, the developer, or the homeowners association, we would need to review the changes and impacts for conformance to TxDOT access management standards. Detailed engineering plans to be reviewed and approved by TxDOT to ensure the constructability, traffic control, drainage prior to issuing the final approval. And then it has contact for questions. But they don't have an objection to it. Obviously, it would have to be studied further.
In this meeting, we had Michael Morris. And Michael, this entrance, it's access, and it involves the private property of the behind the pink wall, as well as TxDOT. We can't mandate that it has to happen, but I have a letter from Michael Morris that says, Dear Councilmember Gates, the North Texas Council of Governments offers to work with the City of Dallas, the Texas Department of Transportation, neighborhood groups, and other interested stakeholders on the comprehensive review of needed transportation improvements on Northwest Highway from Preston to Edgemere. Specifically, we'll work with the feasibility of the right in and right out on Northwest Highway near Two-Lane Boulevard. North NCTCOG's interest is in the comprehensive review of transportation-related ingress and egress needs, engineering, and construction to ensure the transportation system can meet the city-approved zoning. They will coordinate with the city to explore the potential revenue sources and financial mechanisms to repay funds by COG for this effort. So COG is willing to go forward and then be reimbursed by developers that would come in afterwards. So that's a process that we can get started immediately before any construction happens. What I have inserted that was not in the CPC is the DIR, which is a development impact review, which requires, we heard this discussed, if somebody applies, they come in with a development plan at that point. We don't have those plans. So this will ensure that it requires the site plan review detailing vehicular circulation, infrastructure standards, and all other items deemed necessary to be submitted and reviewed prior to submitting the application for the building permit. This will be done by staff and make sure that the infrastructure the city is responsible for can handle any type of development.
Councilwoman?
Yes.
Is the remainder of this legally required right now, or?
Yes. I have to explain what was
gotcha.
In there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and I'll finish up. I won't.
Go ahead.
I removed the ability for the RPS or the tall plan, which is the maximum structure height, will remain the base regulations of this PD, which was the 240 in the south and the 96 in the north, and which all must be under RPS. This was something that the tall plan that was considered and it was introduced at CPC, the neighbors are not supportive. The four low rises were not supportive. It was an idea to encourage more green space, but I don't think it is necessary and I don't think it's feasible, so I'm taking that out. I am sticking to the CPC point system to what they could achieve. Those bonus points that are mentioned will allow for the developers to have a little more density, but not exceeding 125, to be able to provide the underground parking and the green space. And as you can, and that what I read about the space was the section 51P was making sure that green space will be contiguous and serve like a public park, even though it'd be private land and maintained by the properties, but it'll be open. So I am sticking with the CPS point, and I would and with the recommendation that those are available so that we can achieve the underground parking, which is also mentioned in the study, as well as more green space in the study. And not to be triggered, the part about affordability will still be in there, but it will not be triggered. They could achieve the green space and the underground parking before they look at doing affordability, but that will also be remained as the CPC recommendation. So with that, I will take any questions about that motion.
Mr. West.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am going to just nerd out for a minute on the zoning here just because I enjoy it and because I feel like my support of this motion will be I'm going to end up having some questions, so I'm just going to put it on the record. First of all, I want to also thank, like Ms. Gates did, everyone for coming out today. Many of us have been on the other side of the podium there, and it can be quite intimidating. And for you guys to give up your evenings and come down here, it says a lot for your passion for your neighborhood. You know,
I had some initial concerns with this case, and, you know, I watched the CPC hearing. I read most of the documents. I think a lot of them were really addressed by Ms. Gates' work on the RPS, the residential proximity slope, her limitation, not allowing for the 310-foot tall building, but limiting that to a structure that's below the height of the other two. The inclusion of the DIR, the impact review that's going to help with traffic flow and infrastructure build out. My other concern was with the confliction with the area plan. The area plan says that these two existing high rises are the only two that should be present here. And that I tossed that around a little bit and I had trouble with that, but I reconciled that because in so many other places in the area plan, it talked about the desire for change and the understanding that change is coming, and we've got to address it in meaningful, thoughtful ways when it comes to development. So, you know, other things that were in the area plan were the desire for underground parking, for open space and pedestrian amenities, and you're getting that with this new development. You're going to get from, if they use the points mechanism, some pretty cool open space that you're going to have here. And then the other thing the area plan talked about was that change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And we as a city council, as a government body, we're tasked with finding more housing in the city. One of our main core tenets that we have to do is to find more housing for our citizens, whether that be affordable housing or market rate or a combination of both. And this is an opportunity to put housing in an area that's not going to displace anyone. We can put density somewhere where it's not going to push out single-family homeowners. It's not going to push out people. And so I think it's an important opportunity to do that. And it's a tower where there's two other towers that are already there. So to me, it really makes sense. If there had not been any other towers, if there had been, you know, if this was the first precedent in a neighborhood like this, my vote would be different today. Some things that I like about it, with the improved infrastructure, you're going to get better drainage. You're going to get more open space. You're going to get most likely better traffic flow if we can get TxDOT to cooperate here. So I think those are all important things that are going to be something to maybe look forward to, even if you're on the other side. And I think the last thing that really resonated with me is that the City Plan Commission almost unanimously supported this. And for me to go against the City Plan Commission, when you have that type of support from people from all different districts and from all over the city, it would take something monumental for me to do that. And in this case, I think, you know, Ms. Gates has worked really hard on it. I don't love it, frankly. I don't love this zoning change, but I think it is the right thing to do for our city. And lastly, I'll take 15 seconds here and just recognize the hard work that Andrew Rueg, Neva Dean have put into this, Laura Morrison, city attorney, and I think Commissioner Murphy, and then also Mr. Narvaez. So thank you.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think he meant Mr. Nevarez. So I want to make sure the right Mr. N got the
put some more recognition.
So thank you, Mr. Nevarez, as well as all the other staff for your hard work. I agree with Mr. West on everybody he just thanked. You know, this case. First, thank you all for all your emails, all your calls, everything that you all brought to my attention. The meetings, I thought that I went through what was going to be the hardest case we had to look at when we did Salvation Army a few months ago. But, Jennifer, you win on this one for sure. And I want to thank my colleague, Ms. Gates, for her hard work. A few months ago, I was definitely a no on this. But seeing the things you added in there, especially the RPS portion, really is going to protect the neighborhoods and protect the residents that are there. And the what excites me the most about this is the green space and the opportunity to have a lot of green space in this very dense area. And so I applaud you for this hard work. I know what it's like to have a tough case, and I know this was not an easy one, and I applaud you for all your hard work in bringing us something that I can actually like and think that will be really good for this area and will help this area that I used to travel by many times. Mr. Mayor, if I may ask my colleague, Ms. Gates, one real quick question about the MVA. This area, I think yesterday you mentioned to me that this area was what letter in the MVA?
It's in the background materials. It's actually a D for PD-15. Around it is all A.
Yeah, and around it is all A.
Because it's because of the vacant building and right. or the burned down building and some vacancies. So.
Right, and so that was something when I realized that and saw that. And so what we have is this MVA study that we did of all properties in the city of Dallas. And just so you all understand, is that a D area is an area that is it's falling, it's going downward. And what can happen with that area is then it can pull all the rest down with it on the edges. And that's something we want to not let happen in our city. And so we've worked very hard to try to make sure that we help D areas and those in between to become C, B, and A areas. And so that's something that I also, when you brought that to my attention and let me see that, that I could better understand what was going on here. So, again, thank you. I will be in support of this motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilwoman Gates, second round.
Thank you for your comments. And I should have thanked staff as well. You guys have worked really, really hard on this. This is one of the reasons why we've talked about authorized hearing, having more support staff. It's a tremendous amount of work. So, and I know they've been very responsive to all of you. And I have a lot of friends out in the audience, people I probably would have called friends before that you might not call me a friend. This has been challenging. And this is, I really believe we're doing something to prevent the area from deteriorating, and something has to happen. And if I could have made something different happen, but it's been 2.5 years, and it's been agonizing, and I've lost a lot of nights over this. So I hear your opposition, but land mass wise, it's 50-50, and I think this audience shows it's 50-50, and I think emails were 50-50. But we're going to, as a neighborhood, we're going to have to work together. We're going to have to work. Claire's going to push Michael Morris. She was there and to make that work during this construction process. And I know David will, work hard on the transportation. We'll make this right for you. So thank you all for coming down, and I ask for all your support, council members.
I'm sorry, who's talking? Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. Ma'am, did you want to speak on this? Okay, can someone get her a microphone, maybe? We're going to get you a microphone so we can actually hear what you're saying. I can't hear at all.
But one thing for sure that has not been mentioned at all, you want to have young people there. The traffic is unbelievable. Come visit us. The cars are constantly running through. I have never seen one of you come when we have a hospital situation up the street and the nurses come. It's parking straight down the streets. If you think there's room for more cars, come down and visit us. We'd be glad to have you. Please do that. I'm very
Thank you.
Concerned
Thank you, ma'am.
About the children who will be there, young people. The street is so busy. Come down our street and hear the traffic and the sirens going up and down that street. If you want to put young people there,
ma'am,
God help them.
Thank you so much.
My name is Kelly Tobian.
Carolyn King-Arnold.
Oh, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure, of course, to see community engagement, and I do appreciate it. And I've shared that, of course, with my Facebook friends so they can see the engagement tonight. But as I listen, and I listen to bits and pieces of some of the conversations about change and on one hand, those who are asking for our help, I constantly reinforce the position of being here for those who don't have a voice or those who ask for our help. And so I'm sure this has been a very difficult challenge for the city. I do believe that my colleague, Councilwoman Gates, has given it her best to make sure that she comes out with the correct solution for helping those who have been victimized by their loss. And so I can't say anything but thank you for speaking up for those who are asking for our help to a housing solution. And so I also heard the word dropped about affordable, and I don't know if that intimidated some members of our audience, but I do know this. We cannot, in the southern sector, have any other additional housing because the courts have told us basically it needs to be in the north. And so whereas we seek additional housing in the southern sector, especially when it's supportive of the masses that need it, we're in hang time right now. So for those of you who are saying, well, we're not expecting any changes, it's here. And it's something that you're going to have to face. I know what it feels like when you resist change. I read the stories all the time about the St. Thomas Estates and Deep Ellum, where those individuals were pushed out of their communities because of change. And so whereas my community sometimes speaks about change, and you're speaking, I guess, a little bit about your fear of maybe gentrification. But it's here, and I like the way that Councilwoman has worked it out, and I believe that people should be at the table, so I appreciate that so very much. But I will support her tonight. And for those individuals who talk about being in the hang time for 2 years, and you're paying for your loss, where you're also paying for additional housing, if that is the story, then my heart is with you, and my vote is with you, and it's also with Mrs. Gates. And change is here, and I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of Ms. Gates' motion, say aye. Any opposed? Motion prevails. Next item, Madam Secretary.
Your next item is agenda item 48. Item 48 is a public hearing on the proposed revisions to the street design and drainage design manuals and the new street process manual. And at the close of the hearing, authorize 1, a resolution approving and adopting revisions to the street design and drainage design manuals and the new street process manual. 2, an ordinance amending Chapter 43, Streets and Sidewalks of the Dallas City Code by amending Sections 43-46, 43-67, 43-68, 43-71, 43-78, 43-94, 43-95, and 43-135.
Hold on 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, if you wouldn't mind keeping down just a little bit on your way out, we really appreciate you being here tonight, but if you could just keep the volume down a little bit, that would help us out. Thanks.
Providing new paving standards, providing new concrete standards, and renaming paving design manual. And 3, an ordinance amending Chapter 51A, Dallas Development Code, Ordinance Number 19455, as amended of the Dallas City Code by amending Sections 51A-4.803, 51A-5.101, 51A-5.104, 51A-5.105, 51A-5.206, 51A-8.506, 51A-8.507, 51A-8.601, 51A-8.602, 51A-8.604, 51A-8.606, 51A-8.611, 51A-8.702, 51A-10.101, and 51A-12.204, clarifying definitions, providing a definition of 1% annual chance floodplain, and renaming the paving design manual. We do have one individual who signed up to speak on the item, after which you'll be open to the public for further comments. That speaker is Jonathan Braddock. If Mr. Braddock, if you're in the audience, would you please come forward?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Braddock emailed me earlier. He's left. He emailed a statement that I've just emailed to you for the record.
Thank you. It'll be noted for the record. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. West? Is there a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve item number 48 with the following changes. Amend figure 4.42 of the street design manual to increase the minimum commercial type sidewalk zone width to 5 feet and the preferred width to 6 feet. Amend figure 4.46 of the street design manual to increase the minimum clear zone for the commercial sidewalks to 5 feet and the preferred width to 6 feet. The director may grant a waiver to reduce the sidewalk zone width and the minimum clear zone width for either a portion of the development or the entire development if the director determines that the minimum width cannot be provided because of the preservation of trees, presence of utilities, insufficient right-of-way, or other mitigating factors. And I have some additional comments.
Discussion, Mr. West.
Thank you. For all of our city projects and for new development projects, we use a 21-year-old paving manual right now. It's called the Paving Design Manual. 2016, the city came out with a complete streets manual, which is optional only. It's not mandatory, although most of the time we do use it, at least on the city's behalf. This new manual for streets is mandatory. It incorporates both the paving and the complete streets manuals. It's been 3 years in the making. And unlike the original paving manual, we have graphics and we have color, and it's much more user-friendly and kind of cool. To push the city to the next level of recognizing that pedestrians actually matter, walkability matters, sometimes we have to take steps that push the envelope just a little bit. And what my motion is doing here is to simply increase the sidewalk widths, the mandatory and the preferred, up 1 foot. If you think about a foot, it's not that much, but it could impact you a lot if you're crossing someone on the sidewalk. The waiver's still there, so if it's not doable for a developer for all these different reasons, they can, you know, they can file for the waiver. So, and I would ask also, as we move forward with this, hopefully, that we look at this again in a year, evaluate if this is working for us as a city, not just my amendment, but the entire manual, and we take a hard look at it and see maybe what other improvements we can make to take us towards more walkability. Lastly, just a quick commendation to Chris Turner for her work, all of Public Works, Transportation, Dallas Water Utilities. Ms. Turner told me earlier that basically every city department has worked on this over the last 3 years, along with a ton of stakeholders that we don't even know about. And I want to just commend all of them for their work. So I would ask for your support.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Agenda item 49 is a public hearing to receive comments on a 78 cents per $100 valuation property tax rate for the 2019-20 fiscal year as discussed on August 13, 2019. City Council will vote to adopt a tax rate on Wednesday, September 18, 2019 at Dallas City Hall, 6 East South at 9 a.m. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? We have a speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Daniel Powell. I'm at 6007 Willowood Lane, District 12. Good evening, Council and Mayor. Thank you for your time. I want to say that our budget still fails to meet our public safety needs. A net increase of 19 officers will not reduce crime when we're down by up to 700 officers. So you can avoid a tax rate increase and pay for these new officers by reallocating money from tax increment financing districts. These redevelopment districts withhold up to 90% of tax revenue gains from the general fund automatically without question or debate. Last year, TIF districts prevented $72 million from being accessible to city services, and they will withhold $85 million in the next year, according to this budget. Development is happening within these TIF districts, even without TIF funds. There have been 231 projects done within TIF district boundaries that never took a penny of TIF funding, and those projects were all worth $9.9 billion. So that's where all that money is coming from that could be taxable valuation that we could use to go towards city revenues to use for city services. So I propose that you reduce TIF district participation percentages to a 50-50 split to balance the need for city services and the need for redevelopment. Every 5% decrease across the board would bring back approximately $4.25 million annually to the general fund. How many new police officers could we hire with that kind of funding, and we could do all of that without raising the tax rate. So please consider that moving forward to bring more money back to city services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on this item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion? Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of closing the hearing? Any opposed? Hearing's closed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next several items are your public improvement district items. Because the majority of them are similar in action, I would like to request the following public hearing agenda items, 50 through 59 and 62 through 64, be considered collectively.
Members, are any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you. Agenda items 50 through 59 and 62 through 64 are public hearings to receive comments concerning the proposed levy of assessments for the Dallas Downtown Improvement District, Deep Ellum Public Improvement District, Clyde Warren Park Dallas Art District Public Improvement District, Knox Street Public Improvement District, Lake Highlands Public Improvement District, North Lake Highlands Public Improvement District, Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District, Prestonwood Public Improvement District, South Dallas Fair Park Public Improvement District, Southside Public Improvement District, University Crossing Public Improvement District, Uptown Public Improvement District, and Vickery Meadow Public Improvement District, in accordance with Chapter 372 of the Texas Local Government Code, for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by special assessments on property in the districts, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize an ordinance approving and adopting the proposed and final 2020 service plans, the final 2019 assessment plans, and the 2019 assessment rolls, establishing classifications for the apportionment of cost and the methods of assessing special assessments for the services and improvements to property in the districts, closing the hearing and levying special assessments on property in the districts for services and improvements to be provided in the districts during 2020, providing for reimbursement of city administrative costs for operational oversight of the districts, fixing charges and liens against the property in the districts and against the owners thereof, providing for the collection of the 2019 assessments, authorizing the receipt and deposit of assessments from the Dallas County, authorizing the disbursements of assessments to Downtown Dallas, Inc., Deep Ellum Foundation, Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, Knox Street Improvement District Corporation, Lake Highlands Improvement District Corporation, Oaklawn Highline Improvement Corporation, Prestonwood Homeowners Association, Southside Quarter Development Corporation, South University Crossing Improvement Corporation, DBA, UCPID, Inc., Uptown, Inc., and Vickery Meadow Management Corporation, and authorizing payment of Dallas Downtown Improvement District 2019 assessment and all future city assessments directly to the Dallas Downtown Improvement District, providing for the city's 2019 participation in the Dallas Downtown Improvement District in an amount not to exceed $780,602.02. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on any of the public improvement districts that was just read in the into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay.
You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and the public improvement district you're speaking on.
All right. Hi, how y'all doing? I'm Yvette Balazé, and I live at 5123 Echo Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75215. Didn't expect to speak today, but hey, in my area, this is what's going on. I want to know what's up with the money. Where did the money go from the PID fund? Okay, I hear things that people are trying to get more money and more money. Well, let's find out what happened with the money in the first place. I'm also hearing that there were security companies that were not paid from that, and I want to know where that money went. I think you guys should be curious about that before you start handing out more money to individuals that have not been responsible with it in the past. So that's pretty much it. Before you start dishing out more money, let's please find out. I mean, that hip-hop government guy. I mean, he was all tied into the, well, you know, y'all know, he used that as a way to, he admitted to using his hip-hop government as a way to launder bribery money. So when you're giving money to people like this and it's disappearing in the hundreds of thousands, you know, let's find out where the money is. And by the way, Diane Ragsdale, where's our $29 million?
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on this item? No, you may come forward. Please state your name and address for the record and which public improvement district you're speaking on.
Cedric Montgomery, 7414 Fair Oaks Avenue, Vickery Meadow District. Just came here just because I received the notice. But I've seen these for years. I've been living there for about 8 to 10 years. So I'm curious about the security that you guys mentioned. You guys mentioned security, and that always kind of alarms me. You know, I believe it's Heartland Patrol. Is that who you guys subcontract to do that security, additional security around that area? Had a couple run-ins with some officers. And it seemed a little odd and out of place, some of the things they were doing. I'm concerned about the community, but I think the community is close-knit, and I think people communicate, and they do well, and I think we work together. So, you know, I know increased policing and increased security typically cause issues as far as my experiences led me to believe. So I just want to let you guys know that I'll be keeping my eyes on this and see what's going on in my community, and I'll stay focused on, you know, doing what I can to make an impact. That's it.
Thank you.
Any other speakers on this item? Please state your name and address for the record and which public improvement district you're speaking on.
Good afternoon. My name is Shannon Brown Key. I am the executive director of the Southside Quarter Development Corp. I live at 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas, 75215. I just wanted to come down and introduce myself for people that do not know that the previous management is no longer running the PID, and we are under new management now. And I just want the residents to know that have not seen my face or have not been made available to me that I am here and available for any questions or concerns that any resident that resides in the South Dallas Fair Park Public Improvement District may have. I've been the executive director and the manager of the Southside Public Improvement District since 2012. Some of you that have been on the city council for a while may recognize me. Some that are new may not. But I just want to assure people that the PID is now in good hands, is hands that has experience, hands that are familiar with accounting, familiar with auditing, familiar with how to implement security improvements, landscaping, other needs that are needed in this neighborhood in a proper way. So if you need to reach out to me, please don't hesitate to call me, 214-937-1391, offices at 1401 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas. Thank you, City Council, for all your support as we have changed management from one entity to another. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And if anyone in the audience wants to speak to me after what goes on here today, I will be happy to answer any questions at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers that would like to speak on this item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The motion I'm looking for is to close all of the public hearings. Any discussion? Deputy Mayor Magoo.
Thank you. I really just want to recognize the Lake Highlands PID and the North Lake Highlands PID who's been here, and they're always here. They are responsible for so much progress in our community, and I thank you for always being present and fighting for the community and listening to the community and doing what needs to be done to make our area safe. So I just want to thank all of you up there at the top. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? The hearings are closed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to agenda item 60.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Basil-Dua would like to be recognized on Agenda Item 60.
Chair recognizes Councilman Basil-Dua.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to commit this item to the City Council Finance Committee charged with the responsibility for financial oversight to be briefed within 90 days, or if this committee is not formed within 90 days, have this item briefed to the entire City Council at the next briefing meeting after the 90th day.
Members, you've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion, Mr. Basil-Dua.
This just goes along with item number 17. We can't really get this through, and we'll wait for the briefing. So I hope to have your support on this.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Gen item 61 is a public hearing to receive comments concerning the proposed levy of assessment for the Tourism Public Improvement District in accordance with Chapter 372 of the Texas Local Government Code, for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by special assessments on property in the district, and at the close of the hearing, public hearing, authorize an ordinance approving and adopting the proposed and final 2019-20 service plan, the final 2019 assessment plan, and the 2019 assessment role, establishing classifications for the apportionment of cost and the methods of assessing special assessments on Dallas hotels with 100 or more rooms for the services and improvements to property in the district, closing the hearing and levying a special assessment on property in the district for services and improvements to be provided during 2019-20, providing for reimbursement of city administrative costs for operational oversight of the district, fixing charges and liens against the property in the district and against the owners thereof, providing for the collection of the 2019 assessment, and providing an effective date. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? We have a couple speakers. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Greg White. I am the general manager at the Westin Galleria Hotel, located at 13340 Dallas Parkway, next to the Galleria Shopping Center. I am also the chair of the Tourism Public Improvement District of the directors, and I'm here today to thank you for your support for the TPID. A couple talking points, and I'll keep this very brief. The Tourism Public Improvement District was established to help the Dallas market itself more effectively against other cities in the nation for meetings and visitors. At that time, Dallas ranked dead last in dollars spent marketing itself as a destination of choice, spending less than $3 million a year compared to cities such as Orlando, which were spending at the time $26 million, Atlanta at $11 million, or San Antonio at $12 million. The return on investment from the PID provided incentives to lure more meetings to Dallas is averaging more than $13 to one so far for an ROI, exceeding the original targeted 10 to 1 ratio used as the basis for the ROI for the TPID. The TPID has helped dramatically fuel the increase in hotel occupancy in the city. Just a few short years ago, occupancy averaged in the low mid-50s in Dallas. Today, it approaches close to 70%. To date, the TPID funding has helped secure an additional 168 meetings for our city, which represents an additional 2.1 million room nights and $470 million in lodging revenue to date. At this point, I'm glad to answer any questions you may have, and I thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Did you have a question? Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Scott Joslov. I reside at 1701 West Avenue, Austin, Texas, 78701. I am general counsel for the Dallas Tourism Public Improvement District. I also was the author of the draft legislation that created the Dallas Tourism Public Improvement, plus the legislation that allowed the addition of additional properties to the district. And I serve as general counsel for the other for all four tourism public improvement districts in Texas. I'm also president of the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association. I've been in that capacity for 19 years. I'm here just to pledge to work with all the council offices to answer any questions you have about public improvement districts in Texas. and about the use of the Dallas Tourism Public Improvement District funding and the service plan and how that all works and how it compares to the hotel occupancy tax. I wrote the leading article on what the rules are for use of the hotel tax and hope that I can be a very valuable resource to all of you. And I'd be glad to take any questions. Otherwise, I'll just pledge to work with each of your offices during that period of time and look forward to being a resource.
Members, any questions?
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on this item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Councilman Basil Dua.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve this item with the following change. Remove any reference to Exhibit A-2 from the ordinance, which includes the 11 new proposed hotels.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
We'll now move to Agenda Item 65. Item 65 is a public hearing to receive comments on readopting and continuing in effect Chapter 12 City Youth Program Standards of Care of the Dallas City Code to reestablish standards of care for certain city youth programs in compliance with state law, and at the close of the hearing, adopt an ordinance reestablishing and continuing in effect the standards. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is there a motion?
To close the public hearing.
Yep. Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Hearing's closed.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your agenda for this meeting.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Time's now 7:39 p.m., and this meeting of the Dallas City Council is adjourned. Everybody went 8 o'clock.